Yes, we're good.
Yes.
The red light report is recorded.
All right, thank you. And good evening, everyone. Welcome to the planning board meeting for the town of Monroe for October 21st, 2019. Before we get started, I'd like to make a public disclaimer that while we are recording tonight's meeting, we are without an official recording secretary. So I will be asking, yes, so don't confuse the fact that Ms. Carla Littner is sitting where Christian is, that she won't be doing that. I will ask for a member of the board to help with some of the note-taking tricks, so that would be helpful if we could pass along a few notes.
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks, Gary. I appreciate that. And for anybody from the audience tonight, if you're presenting or at some point if there's questions, we'll ask you to please state your name, your address, so that we can get an accurate record to go along with the recording and with the minutes that we'll piece together after. So with that, we'll go ahead and get started with a review of the minutes from our September meeting and ask folks to take a minute to refresh on those of September 16th, 2019. Do folks have any additions, any deletions, or any corrections?
I have a minor correction. Page 2216, the second paragraph, under what was described as alternative number 3, there's a sentence that reads that we should use the proposed driveway to serve lot 4 and lot 4. So I think that should say lot 4 and 5.
Okay. That was 2216, right there?
Yes.
Stated that they area, not area. I think it should be they are, not area. So it's just a typo within the corrections. So that's on page 2207.
Space and there would be ancillary spaces for
clean and soil storage, small office for the doctor, and mechanical room within the site. With that in mind, what we've done, we're looking to delete the drive-through canopy that we had on the backside of the building when it was to be a pharmacy. And basically that loop driveway that went around the backside has been deleted and converted to lawn and landscaped area. In mind with that, what we've done, where we had the entrance on the lower side closest to Route 9 to that loop that went around the building, we've relocated two of the handicap spots from the handicap parking spots from the other side of that line to the front corner, and we've added an additional 5 spaces for staff on the back side of the building. The entry walk on the back side would remain. The building itself, the shell that's there, we would do some minor modifications with windows. We're adding windows to the exam rooms and the offices. So these are like 2.5-foot square windows that are being placed. I think there's 3 on each elevation. And we're modifying the windows where the canopy comes off the back. We'll actually be doing, rather than a drive-through window, we'll actually have a fixed window system there.
So other than the driveway removal for the drive-through, there's no modifications to the footprint of the building?
No, the footprint of the building is not changing.
Okay.
No. In changing the driveway, basically, we had a series of light poles that went around the backside that aligned with the driveway or the drive-through. We've deleted those and we've relocated one to the front corner over here, and the one back here we moved closer to the parking area, but we've deleted 2 on the backside. The proposed change is actually a less intensive use of the site. The hours of operation will be Monday through Friday, probably 8 to 4 or 8 to 5 o'clock. They'll be more in conjunction with the hours of operation for the health center itself. We have adequate parking based on what we have provided for the pharmacy, and as I said, we've added 5 additional spots here on the backside for staff parking at the backside. And in regard to signage, we have the pylon sign that was located up here by the Route 9 entrance that will remain, and in lieu of doing the sign panel for the pharmacy, we would have a sign panel for the specialty medical practice. And they would have some type of small signage on the front of the building. When it comes to that, we will actually be doing these sign permits with the town for their approval on that. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone may have.
Mr. Jones, you want to decrease the number of handicap parking spaces, just reposition them?
We didn't decrease them.
Okay.
We just moved two from this end of the line to this end of the line, closer to the front entrance.
Very good.
I guess operation hours, you don't think that maybe the main health facility won't be operating on Saturday? Or,
it may. I'm not sure at this point. It may very well be. I know they've been converting other health centers to Saturday practice, so it's probably going to happen.
But would this also follow that, or would this still remain?
I doubt it with the specialty practice. I think he's looking more the Monday through Friday.
If you could just help me with a technicality on the map. Directly between that medical office and Route 9, near the front of the property, there's a box that has like a dotted line.
Yes.
What is that?
That is the septic field of the building.
It's on a subsequent page, John.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
It is.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I
appreciate you hearing that.
On C-104.
So that's specifically for this particular medical office.
That's correct.
The box next to it.
Yeah.
And in that regard, just as a wider point, I had heard that the septic system is only temporary to be used, and they're going to hook onto the public system when it is available.
That's correct. Both buildings will be connected to the municipal system.
Because I noted that the lateral looks like it's in a good position to do that.
Yes.
Yep.
That's why we came out the front of the building.
Yep. Okay. I mean, from my standpoint as a staff person, I would count these as minor changes from just speaking for me in my opinion. And there is some positive. I think we're probably technically a net gain in permeable area.
Yes.
With the law, even though we have some parking shuffling around, I think we have a loss of the drive through.
Parking basically is occurring where the drives enter the back
right.
From.
And we have added landscaping and less exterior lighting, so.
Could you, do you anticipate that the overall trip generation would probably be reduced as well?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it would be, yeah, because the retail use is gone.
Yeah, now that that's out of it.
Yep.
Site's shaping up, by the way.
Yeah, we're looking to have health department inspection mid-December, excuse me. So we'll be looking to open shortly after that.
Now, in terms of, while we got you here, then establishment of your landscaping may spill into the spring?
It may. I think we're beyond trying to plant landscaping.
Okay.
We're really pushing it. I know they're putting binder down on the back of the building. They're working their way around the front. But yeah, I mean, we've got all the topsoil in place. But
I saw that.
The lawns and stuff, I think we're going to need in the spring. Definitely the spring to make sure that everything is
okay.
Or any additional questions for Mr. Jones?
I think, Ron, I would recommend that. You know, Dick, come up with a new, I don't want a whole new set, you know, for signature, but this revised set, C-102 through 5,
yeah.
I'd like for signature.
Yeah.
So, like you normally do with an original site plan that is reviewed and signed.
Okay. And as it relates to our previous secret review, we could probably just write on that.
Well, and I would note that, you know, in your resolution of decision, you know, if that's what I, from my standpoint, I think that's fine. And then the issue of a public hearing, if you think this is significant enough or not, for a hearing.
Well, I'll put that up for the changes as laid out. Do we see the need that they be moved ahead into a public hearing? Or they?
The changes are so minor in concept, I think that we would be required of the public hearing that you do that as a small vote and choose.
I agree. I recall the public comment on this initial plan being, I think it was one neighbor that's
I think you subjectively bought the land.
We bought the land.
No.
So.
I don't know that we need that in the form of a motion. We don't have any requirement that we have a public.
Again, I think that's something you could vary, you know, just including your overall resolution.
From the resolution. Any additional edits or notes that you need to see on the final set of drawings, the C-102 to C-105? Film? I'm good at it.
I don't know what it is.
I'll accept the motion.
I have notes to that would be no hearing required due to the minor nature. Two copies of this, two sets of drawings will be submitted for signature by the chairman and a member, and the seeker negative deck from the original review remains intact.
And just as a point of clarification on the two sets of drawings, the gentlemen, again, those are C-102 and C-105. Any further discussion? I don't know. I guess I do that. Jared, Mr. Bouchard?
Yes.
Mr. Hansen?
Yes.
Mr. Arnold?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
And yes, I shall agree. Motion carries. I think you had in the notes discussion that we have those set of drawings signed when it was presented. Need another follow-up?
Motion.
Yeah, you usually do it that way.
It's a motion that the chairman and one of the members of the board sign the plans for connected as to the department.
A motion by John that the chairman and one other member sign the final drawing C-102 to C-105 once presented. Is that a second?
I'll second.
And a second by Reed. Any further discussion? Potential controversial. All those in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Understand? Turn about the chair of play, Mr. John, anything else for work? Alright. Thank you for the update. No, it looks good. Looks good. So thank you. Our next item is site plan review for Chet Sanders at 1216 Route 9.
Okay.
Okay.
I live at 246 Reservoir Road, which is my house. And
246 Reservoir Road?
Right.
Yeah, would you mind just coming up a little bit? I never want to sit down. We're fairly informal. Just closer we get to the microphone tonight, would be better for us. Thank you.
So my wife and I own the Action Septic Roadwork shop right on the Paul Hill off on the 9. So business has grown. We want to build another building on the lot north of it. 40 by 6 feet. So we're going to house service vehicles and an office.
How many vehicles are there?
Three or four.
And all of that an office in them?
Yeah, just several things in the summary. I'll just skip to that. It appears that there's this is still treated as a separate lot formally. These exist as two lots. The original triangular shaped lot that his current building is on, this lot adjoins it. It's undersized, but is grandfathered as per the zoning code in terms of its dimensions. So therefore, given the fact he's trying to, and I, from my standpoint, I agree with this approach of, utilizing the same driveway. We certainly, don't like to see curb cuts, along Route 9. We try to minimize those as we can. So this shared driveway is, should provide some sort of easement, shown in the deed of the parent lot that there's a right of easement and passage to this lot to access it. To set this up properly. The proposed use is allowed with site plan review. That's why it's here. Although a SWIP is not required, I think you should discuss the soil types there to accept, the runoff if it's just a sheet runoff situation or absorption. There appears to be some slope to the lot, and positioning this building in the pad for the the driveway and all that, it might be worthy of some discussion about the grading plan. I don't know if it rises to the point of meeting a retaining wall or not, but that could get a little tricky here and make sure it's properly sloped and we don't get any runoff issues, and we have some erosion control. The electricity utility placement is not indicated, but the well location is shown. Any signage need here, either expansion of the current sign or a separate sign for this parcel given its use, certainly should be compliant with our sign permit requirements. I don't know if there's any exterior lighting envisioned. I didn't see a lighting plan. Landscaping plan was not provided. At a minimum, we should have some soil stabilization here and maybe try and dress this up a little bit. Again, the slopes are marginal, so that grading may be an issue. And parking is not shown. It may not be a requirement here, given the utilization, but just make sure that there's not a need for parking, given utility, or I mean employee parking, or potentially an occasional customer coming to the site. That was it.
Do you have a copy of the items that Jim just rattled off? Do you know what that went to Mr. Bork, or was that just your...
That was just my... I didn't have an email to send it to, so if I have one indicated, I send it, but I didn't have one, so...
Any initial thoughts or comments on anything?
As far as the grade the soil is gravel, so it's good drainage, but we have a lined up an excavator that's going to come in and remove the stumps and do the grading. And I don't think I'll know anything until that's done. See, we have a gravel pit right behind us so we can haul in material if we need to make it, whatever it has to be. I mean, I can't see it myself because I don't have a level up. Yeah. This excavator, I think, is going to help take care of that.
Well, I just noted in a, looks to be like, I don't know, maybe a 45-foot, 60-foot distance. We're dropping from, one corner of the building's at the 90-foot elevation, and the other corner is at 82, so it's an 8-foot drop. So, you know, if they're going to that's called balancing the site. You know, if they import material to balance it out, that's one approach. I think that should be discussed to make sure we have something that's viable.
Don't you have to drive up to the building from the road? Aren't you climbing up to reach the other building from the road?
Oh, from the new site? You mean up to
the original site now that's there. Doesn't the vehicles climb to the building is above the Route 9?
The building's already built up. Yeah, they're
it's
almost level.
Okay.
Well, according to this grading, across the entire lot, it goes from 100 feet at one corner down to 80. It's a 20-foot drop across the lot in a space of about 90, about 90 feet, or, 180 feet.
It's about 160 feet.
Yeah, 160, 180 feet.
A 1 to 80 slope.
So... That was the only thing I saw was kind of tricky here. There's going to be a lot of material moved around to make this, you know, a building pad.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not trying to raise issues to cause you more expense. I'm just, you know, to properly think this through is all I'm saying.
Just out of here, why is there a reason why you're not administratively putting the two lots as one so that it's not necessary for an easement for the second property?
I own both lots, so I don't think the easement. I mean, I already talked to Joe McPhillips, our attorney, about that. That's not a big deal doing that, but at that point, I just think it keeps things simple right now. It's like, I don't.
Well, Reed's right. It's not a big deal to join him either.
Right.
So,
I think
either way.
You don't have to worry about having an easement cost. If at any one time, both properties want to be split, you know, the other property wouldn't have access to. Unless there's a need.
Is that what you're recommending that I do? Is it going to make it more complicated?
No, I think it'll make it easier.
So what this process I'm going through right now, it won't make it more complicated if I make it one lot.
I think it will remove the need for an easement to get to the next lot.
But if that's the only thing, is that necessary? I mean, if that's what it's going to take, I'll do it.
And so before you
go further on that. There's a question asked. Is building out front right now is action separate. Is this building in the back an extension of that business?
Yeah, it's all one business.
Okay. Is that, if you bring the two lots together, I mean, basically it will have to be all one thing for sure. There'll be no separate of the two. No two uses on one site.
Correct.
So if that plan is just to make it all one use, then joining the two together simplifies some things for you. It eliminates the need for an easement for the right-of-way, for the driveway, because I don't think you're going to drive up off Route 9 to this new proposed site. So you're going to be using the same driveway.
You are going to, because we can't meet the setback or the site requirement.
So in order to do that, even though you own both sites, we would have to have a right-of-way for that second deeded parcel to have access to it, whereas if they're joined together, then you don't need that. It eliminates that. And as long as that's your intention to remain as both the same purpose, the same business, it just simplifies things a little.
So to make it one lot?
Yeah.
Not that it make an advantage to you.
Okay.
You can do that in an hour with a filing to the county.
So that's going to make it happen. I'll do it.
Another question about that driveway. It looks as though it comes off of Route 9 and may not be always on your land. Is that strip of land between the other lands of Chess and Inc.?
You mean you're talking parallel to Route 9?
Yeah.
Part of it's state land.
It's state land, but I think it's considered part of Route 9.
I think it's public right of way.
Yeah. Okay.
Part of the public right of way.
The state owns it,
but what you're saying is for me to make the two lots all one piece of land.
Well, this question was specific.
I got it.
To coming off Route 9. It looks like this track.
Yes.
Between parallel to 9 is a little wide, but I believe it's all state.
Yes.
I think it is.
Because of the grade. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
You mentioned in your synopsis here that this is for the business and for offices, but you don't have parking spaces for employees of any kind.
I will do whatever.
This is a site use. Are you planning on parking inside the building?
No.
Okay. So then you would need to show us where you plan on having parking outside the building.
Okay.
Doesn't mean you have to pave it and put stripes.
I understand.
We need to know that there's a designated location for it.
Do you have customers that will be coming to
you? Rarely.
Or do you need provision for a space?
Yeah,
for
I guess, but I mean, it's pretty rare.
So there are just some dotted lines that Mr. Rourke can add to this.
Right.
How many people will be working at this location?
You know, there's 5 of us right now. I don't know in the future. Hopefully more.
But are you working there, or are you coming in the morning and getting the truck?
There's going to be a secretary that's going to work there. Everybody else is supposed to be out making money.
Now, do they have their car, and they use one of your vehicles, or
sometimes?
So
I mean, we have. You know, I have a car, and the secretary is going to have a car. So I understand. So you're going to need to see. We already park at the upper garage anyway, so it's only going to be 3 or 4 more vehicles at the most at the lower garage. But if you need to see that, they'll work, right?
Because again, that'll become part of your overall grading plan, right? For how you're going to control the elevation.
I think we're going to see it's going to be more visible once they get an excavator in there and doing something with it. You know, I can't see it. I can see where Bill Rourke did the topo with the 5-foot intervals or whatever, and you can see the mean area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it would be. I don't know. When I see it in person, you know.
So I think what Jim was mentioning earlier is you need in your plan, as you go ahead, you need to have an idea of what you're going to do about potential erosion during construction.
Yes, right.
You also have to have a plan for basically any kind of stormwater not leaving the site.
Right.
Right, that's very well drained soil out there. I don't know if you can even do a perk test there so fast. All right, but there are times in the year where it can be an issue, and you need to have it set up so that any runoff from your non-permeable surfaces does not leave your site into a neighbor's site.
In fact, yeah, to John's point, where when you get to the point of septic, you may find that you need to amend the soil.
I know there really isn't any part there.
Is there a septic that is associated with the building that's there now?
Yes.
No.
Okay. We would want to be able to see the location of that.
Okay.
The current.
Sure.
The main reason is because we have to make sure your well's far enough away on it, but it most definitely is. Because it's well on the other side of the wall. Right. So.
Do you think you're going to keep the tree line or you have on your existing lot?
Where's your present office? Where do you work out of now?
246 Reservoir Road,
which is your present home.
My wife wants to retire.
That is a driving force, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll tell you what mama wants.
It's a prime consideration.
Were you planning lighting, exterior lighting on there? It would be nice to see where that's proposed now.
Okay, so this gets me through the door, right? Now we need to go farther with this, right? With the
I think at this point, we're looking for anything about the thought of expanding this business. That's
it's more detailed.
That's problematic to us, right?
Yeah.
This is what Jim wanted to email to anyway.
And you're welcome to come in and see me. This typically happens where the board gets its first review and then the applicant comes in and we talk through the list in detail so I can help you out with the type of information you need. I'm happy to do that.
Okay, perfect.
So those are the items that we've
been... I'm keeping a running list here of what you've discussed.
Probably next month we have a site plan that's complete and we can take action on it.
Okay. We'll see what happens. I can always make it a month afterwards, right?
Yeah, so we have to stay.
We're here for 6 months.
Okay, got it.
Okay. Yeah, because for next month's meeting, you have to have it in by when?
Fourth.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so the two of these. That's all for submission for our meeting for next month. You have to have all of these edits and modifications by November 4th submitted.
And that includes making it one lot. Talking. So 12-12 and 12-16 are going to be one piece of land.
That's what we recommend.
That's what you want.
And I can help you out with that, too, because what we refer to that is it's a lot consolidation.
Okay.
And it's you have to do a filing with the county, and I can help you out with that filing.
All right, we'll get started on that. Okay.
Just to let you know, the submission deadlines are always the first Monday of every month. So in the event you don't make November, it's the first Monday of December.
Okay. We have one more
day. Thank you. Is there any change in the nature of the vehicular traffic? More trucks, different kinds?
No, we have two pump trucks that are going to stay the same. I'm not getting into that bigger than that. More service vehicles, but I don't know. It's hard finding employees anyway, so it's not going to be. All of a sudden, we're going to have 10 more trucks.
So it'll be an insignificant increase in pay.
Exactly.
We talked a little bit about lighting. Did you have any, in addition to the tree questions, and any other landscaping that you had?
Well, I was going to. Well, being that we're going to have a driveway that goes on Tim Dingley's side or the north side, right? Because we want to be able to drive through the garage in one door, not the other door. So we're going to come around the north end. We're going to have some type of lighting, but it's got to be obviously something that's not going to wake my neighbors up.
They have downcast, as usual.
Exactly. They're great neighbors, and we're going to. You consider what's going to affect them.
So what we typically like to see too is just a cut sheet or some kind of catalog information about the type of fixture that's downcast, and that way we can. Sure that there's not any spillage off the property.
Okay.
Do you have any thought for a public hearing next month, or do you want to wait?
He seemed like he wanted to move along.
I guess that's a question back to you. Based on the things that we've talked about so far, we're gonna rattle them off again for you here in a second. In addition to these items that are on the notes there, are these items that you feel like you would be able to have Mr. Rourke reflect on the plan in time for us?
I'm going to say I'm having back surgery a week from Thursday, and I'll be up for 3 months. I can't stop that process.
Okay.
So I would say not. I'll talk to Bill Rourke and then see, you know, and then I'll start excavating. I think that I couldn't have it in mind.
Okay.
I'm sure someone else can appear for you, your agent can appear for
my
you.
Son,
for you,
my
right. Son, your wife, whatever. They can also appear.
If we think we can get this part, no.
Yeah.
What we're suggesting, if you can, we will schedule a public hearing and we can get this done sooner versus later, which is what you'd like to get done.
We're starting to have a good time with you because nothing will be built until next year, anyways. So if I had to put it off a month, that might be.
That's fine.
For a public hearing, I hate that one. I would do that because then
that's fine. So the way we'll leave it is we'll go down the list of the notes in addition to what we have there that we need to see reflected on the site plan change. And then we'll wait to hear back from you. We'll review it one more time and then set the public hearing. Either you or your son or
Robert,
if you want someone to review it with us in November,
okay. We
can do that too.
Okay.
All right, Jim, what do you have?
I have so far joining the lots into one lot. Show parking spaces for employees and a minor amount of customer parking. I think in total maybe 4 or 5 spaces in total, given those two needs. Show location of current septic system. Lighting plan with, Ron indicated, the cut sheets of the fixtures to be used. And those lighting providers, by the way, will do that plan for you. They'll show you the light. The lighted area on a plan.
Okay.
And then that's all I had because there's little or no increase in vehicles. So
okay.
I think you might want to consider some engineering help on this because with the grading, because I think that's going to be a little bit beyond a surveyor's capability,
and
to be honest.
Yeah, and you're probably going to have to amend the septic, right? So.
Well, that's a gift.
We're looking at what's going on in there, not what's going in.
Sure, but I didn't know. You had said you were going to bring in an excavator. Are you going to be doing any perk tests?
We have an excavator lined up to come in whenever he can do that. So he's got to do whatever. He's got to get rid of the stumps and the trees.
I can tell you, having a grading plan will help your excavator. Because he can read that and understand.
The top map was showing, but I guess it's not.
Well, the topo map shows the existing condition, but a grading plan will tell him what he has to do in order to bring that site to a buildable level.
Okay. Okay.
And we have a list of engineers in the office that typically work in the town that we can provide you with that if you're interested.
I'm not going to commit to the time I'm going to be here yet.
It's all right, okay. We're just trying to help
you. Perfect.
Any other questions for us?
No, I'll have the questions. I'll have you right now.
I'm in tomorrow morning, 9 to 1, and Thursday's 1 to 4. So it's
okay.
Tuesday's 9 to 1, Thursday's 1 to 4 if you want to come in and see me.
Thank you very much, Board. My name is Teresa Baker. I'm a law firm of Whitman, Austin, Indiana, and I'm here tonight representing the applicant, along with Dominic Arrigo, who's a professional engineer with CT Mail Associates. With us is Rachel McDermott, and the application was submitted on behalf of Rachel, Jim Dove, and Bob Dove, and they're the owners of the property located at 180 Old West Road, right here in the town of Borough. This property has been owned by them since 1984, and it has been used for farming purposes as far back as anyone can remember. The house is currently on the property. There's a number of outbuildings on the property as well. The purpose of the house is going to be used by Rachel and her husband for a residence, so they're going to live there full time. They've been in the process of doing what they need to do to fix up the house. It's a very attractive vernacular farmhouse. They also are repurposing or adaptively reusing some of the barns behind the house for the farm brewery. The only thing that will be built new is the very small porch that's going to be on the back of the buildings. And Don will show you that when we get to that point. The goal of this is what you would call agritourism. So it involves brewing, and it also involves the direct sale of the brewed products. And there's a lot of reasons for doing it this way, mostly because the way it's set up and the brewing process is for direct removal of the brewed product from the containers. It's not, they will not be doing any wholesale. So people might come with the growler, that could be filled. People will come to the tap room, which is 700 square feet, and they will drink the beer there. This is very common throughout New York now. The Department of Ag and Markets, and I don't want to leave this out, this is in an ag district within Saratoga County. In addition to having all the ag assessments and having been used for agricultural purposes for a long time. One of the reasons why they can do this and have it qualify as an ag brewery is because they produce more than 51% of the ingredients on their farms. So this is not only just brewing like a manufacturing process, but it's fully integrated in the farm products that they create. And they're mostly grains, barley, etc. We'll have Rachel speak to that later on. She does a much better job at describing the process. Now, this area of the town is zoned M2 for manufacturing. So when we came in, we met with Jim as the zoning administrator in order to find out from him what uses were allowed on the property. Because as you all know, as the planning board, your job is to look at site plan. Your job is not to look at the uses that are proposed. That's more of a zoning administrator, ZBA type of an issue. So what we also did, because we understood that there were some concerns about the direct sales, is we have also been in close communication with the Department of Ag and Markets. And the Department of Ag and Markets has provided information to Jim as the zoning administrator, and I believe also your attorney's been in touch with the attorneys at the Department of Ag and Markets. We're working with Bob Summers there at the Department of Ag and Markets. So I just want to draw to your attention Agricultural Markets Law, Section 305A. I won't read it into the record, especially since you don't have anybody here tonight taking notes. But there is a provision in it that says, upon the request of any municipality, farm owner, or operator, the commissioner shall render an opinion to the appropriate local governmental officials as to whether farm operations would be unreasonably restricted or regulated by proposed changes in local land use regulations, ordinances, or local law pertaining to agricultural practices, and to the appropriate local land use enforcement officials administering local land use regulations, ordinances, or local laws. So, the Department of Ag and Markets several years ago issued guidance on this section of 305A and also guidelines. There's an actual agricultural commission that was established to do that. And in that, they have chosen to encourage, as part of agricultural operations, breweries, distilleries, vineyards, and meaderies. And I'm sure everybody knows what meat is. So the purpose of this, again, is in furtherance of a New York State law purpose to encourage the growth, production, and sale of agricultural products. This situation is an interesting one because typically you're seeking to put in a brewery in a non-manufacturing zone. Here we have a really clear determination from Jim that a brewery is allowed in the M2 zone. So that's not a problem, not an issue. That's a determination that has been made. So what we don't have in the town zoning law is a statement about direct sales. And so we get the direct sales from the Ag and Markets law itself. And this is why I started out by talking about why we're proposing direct sales and why wholesaling from this location would not work for the farm. I thought it would be helpful. We got Jim's determination literally hours ago. So Bob Summers of the Department of Ag and Markets sent us this letter as an example of the type of letter that will come to the town. Jim basically said he's looking to Ag and Markets for guidance. This is obviously not in connection with our project. But this is the type of letter that you will receive. So I just wanted to give you that. Of course, as soon as we get something from on our project directly, we'll be happy to give it to you. So I'm going to turn it over to Dominic now to go over the details with respect to the site plan. But the thing to remember, particularly from a seeker standpoint, is that we are using existing buildings, and literally the only thing that we are building is a porch, which is
400
square feet, which is going to go around the back of the building. So, and we also don't get to hand out the diagrams and stuff.
Yes, I have that.
Okay.
I didn't want to get too much of a spread out. Again, my name is Dominic Rico. And this map here, I did not give pass out to you. I just wanted an overall view of this is the property where it stands in there within the town. If everybody's really not familiar with it, where I believe where we are now is around here somewhere. So this is the 87 runs through here. It just sits east of, or west, sorry, of the north way along Old West Road. So that's the proximity of where we are. This is the property, the same property you see in red, we outlined in yellow. It is a little over 300 acres and is considered one piece of property, even though it's subdivided, cut up, I shouldn't say subdivided, but cut up between the Washburn Road and Old West Road on here. The 87 is here. The project, if you look at it, is right here. It's about just a little under 4 acres of area that we're
included in the project. It's not totally being developed. Only less than an acre is actually being disturbed because most of the stuff's existing except for the new drive actually we have. But that's where it's located within the entire property, just so. And the existing farmhouse is here. So the map that I gave you, we did a little blog to show where the existing farmhouse and farms are now. I don't want to call it farmhouse. But this is the building now, the existing residence farmhouse, and this is the barn that will be converted to the brewery. And they're also passed out a few photographs that show some closer look at barns and elevation views of what they look like. They are relatively good wood frame, one story frame that will be modified to building standards in order to meet accessibility and structure and all that stuff. But generally, they're fine structures and suitable for reconstruction without doing any major structures or change of structures except for any windows and different doorways. I guess one of the things this is an overview of the entire parcel that we're building. We also have a map of that. Again, there's the farmhouse, the barn. When you look at the aerial map, you can see how everything's really built up in that area, the driveways, everything. This is a new driveway coming in this area here. It's along this eastern edge of the property line. And this will be an area that will cut through some of the existing brush, and it's really all brush and white trees in here. And then once you get up in here, it's really all open, excavated. It was an old barn that sat right here, surveyed to the old foundation. So there's really not a lot of site improvements to be made except for the access to the drive here. There's an existing well on site, which we're going to utilize for the brewery as well. Don't expect there to be a high draw, but we'll have to determine the final yield on the well to make sure that we can. If it's not enough, then we'll either drill another well or supply storage for the brewery when they need water. The wastewater, we have a leach field over here. The house itself will maintain its existing system, and this will be a new system that will be designed in accordance with the discharges you get from the brewery, which isn't a great amount when you think about it, because most of it's being turned into beer and consumed more than discharged, but it will be a bathroom on site and some cleaning of glasses, different things like that, so there will be some discharges there. As far as the parking, we have we have about 35 parking spots here, which is over and above what the town would require as far as just clearance for parking in a restaurant, which is one for five seats. So based on the floor area, we have about a little under 700 square feet of actual floor area where the brewery and tasting room would be. So based on 15 square feet per person, that's about 45 people. But there is an outside area, which you see on here, which is probably more like a ground type deck. I don't know if it will be raised, because the fifth floor would be pretty close to the grade there. That'll add another maybe 15 to 20 seats at that point. So there's sufficient parking. We laid it out as a kind of a loop in here, so we have access in and out here. It's two-way road. But in case there is an emergency, there's an accessible drive here that goes to the residents only, but in case of emergency, there will be a secure gate there that can be opened with maybe a knock box or something in order to emergency access the community in case that happened. I don't know what else. There's a little pendant area here. We can see that in the middle of the paddock. The owners have a couple horses that they like to keep close by. So that's what that area is going to be. But again, there's no clearing or anything for those. The tree line is pretty much going to stay exactly the way it is, which, as you see out here, might be a little bit in here changed. I know there's a lot of comments and discussion that Jim brought up to bring to light. I don't know if you want me to go through those now, or do you want to Jim, if there is no comments first, but I can, I think that's pretty much what we're looking at right now.
Okay, thank you. And now, as Jim said,
yeah, I think it would be appropriate, first of all, to start with the determination. I think what Teresa said is correct. This is kind of a unique situation. We have a parcel that is in the Saratoga County Ag District, so it is afforded those agricultural protections. However, it's in the M2 zone. So as such, the M2 zone does allow for light manufacturing with site plan review and approval. In my determination, I think the brewing of the beer and the distribution, you know, is part of that light manufacturing process, so therefore is allowed as a use subject to site plan review. However, you know, and it's kind of a unique situation being in the Ag District. You know, we did have a discussion, myself and Carla. We spoke with representatives from Ag and Markets. You know, the 305A provision, you know, does apply here. And, you know, it specifically says, if you note from the letter from that we received from Ag and Markets, I'll read from excerpt directly at the bottom of the first page, letter dated September 25th. Purpose of the of an agricultural district is to encourage the development and improvement of agricultural land and the use of agricultural land for the production of food and other agricultural products, which is set forth as a policy in the New York State Constitution. Agricultural Markets Law, Section 305A, one of the statutes that implements the state constitutional policy, states that local governments are prohibited from enacting and administering laws that would unreasonably restrict farm operations located within an agricultural district unless it can be shown that the public health and safety is threatened. So there's more to the letter, but I think that's what's germane to what I'm saying now. And so in that regard, normally the retail sales of beer from this location would not be allowed. But my understanding is that from Ag and Markets is that they classify beer that is produced and distilled on site from agricultural products that are grown on site, and the minimum standard is 51%, as I understand it, then the sale of beer from that location is viewed as an agricultural use according to their the umbrella of their definition. So it gets captured under that. And then there are some ancillary things I further understand that are also captured. They, in the conversation, stated the performance of or the availability of unamplified or non-amplified music. So in other words, if somebody's playing a guitar one evening, that is also an ancillary use that's in that agricultural protection. I did think it was interesting that they did use the word non-amplified. So that may be something worthwhile to consider carrying forth in a condition. So on that basis, you know, it appears that's the direction this is taking. I wasn't conclusive on that sale because I don't have the determination back yet formally from Ag and Markets, but Teresa did show an example of what one looks like, and I expect to receive, you know, a similar thing or a similar letter. So if that's the case, then you know, I think that prohibition from us not allowing the sale of beer will apply, and it is an allowed use, and I think it should be subject to site plan review as a complete package, if you will, of the production of beer, what's involved with that, and also I do think we have reasonable, typical site plan considerations that we can make in review of the sale piece of it. But we cannot say it's prohibited. So I think the sale of beer, pending the confirmation from Ag and Markets, you know, will be allowed here. And the other thing I should say in our discussion with Ag and Markets is they take this very seriously. There is a very due diligence like process, if you will, that goes through the review of the situation. I think that even involves a site visit. you know, to confirm, you know, the nature of the brewing process and what's going to happen here at the site. And they monitor that post-approval. They continue to monitor the site to make sure that it's within the bounds of the law. So that was good to hear. So, you know, I think we have a... I recommend that you proceed with your review on the light manufacturing here of the beer and on the sales. Like I said, pending that confirmation from Ag and Markets, like this is a use that will be allowed on that basis.
Mm-hmm. It's something that's fancier than that. Is that contemplated?
I mean, Carla, maybe you have your recollection sharper than mine, and please correct me if I'm wrong.
Hang on.
But in the regard of the consumption of food, I thought I recall the conversation also said if there was like unprepared food, like cheese and crackers are out, you know, that's permissible. However, if you're talking about prepared food there that is not in association with what's grown there, that's a restaurant that would not be allowed. But if it's, you know, like a I don't know how other to describe it than an ancillary type thing of cheese and crackers are out with the beer or, you know, beer nuts or something like that, you know, that's fine.
I think Ann's question came from the actual application.
Right.
I
don't think that's what's being asked for here is any kind of food preparation or serving of food grown on site. But I do say, I did want to raise that idea that, you know, there could be, you know, snack food, you know, snacks available, you know, and that's covered under the prohibition.
You're saying the bar and table restaurant is not supposed to be in the project description of the official
I don't know. I'll defer to the applicant. I don't think that's what's being asked for here, but...
I would be happy to answer that. Yeah, that's an artifact. That should not be in there. We'd have to provide you with a different one without it. The only type of food that's going to be provided is the food that's required to be provided by and I always say this wrong, but it's the liquor authority. So you have to have food available along with the beer, but it's like pretzels, peanuts, you know, cheese and crackers.
That was the part of the conversation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But you're right, that's in there. That should not be in there. We'll fix that. No problem. We're not proposing to have a commercial kitchen or a restaurant. It's just a brewery, a tap room, and we'll provide whatever food we're required to do, you know, under this state law.
How about like a food truck? Some other tap rooms sometimes have like a food truck that will stop by. Any plans for that?
For events and things like that.
Or just for the Friday night, evening. I mean, most breweries do have to get a route or to bypass and have food truck. It's very common to have a food truck at a brewery.
Right.
So would that be part of your plans?
Yeah, I think they would like the ability to do that, but they would be happy to come back to the planning board for that in the future. They really want to get started with the tap room, with the brewing process. I know the one where I live in Duanesburg has one come on the weekends occasionally. We didn't look, and I apologize, we did not look to see whether those need to be covered by a site plan approval or if those are licensed separately. Really, the board has to tell us. I mean, Jim, how do you guys handle that?
Again, a strict reading of the ordinance here is that's the sale of food, and I don't see that as an allowed use in the M2 zone. You know, my immediate reaction, I wasn't contemplating it.
Then you go back to, because it's now in the Ag and Mart and the farm facility. I think what's happening is they're getting a farm brewery license.
Yeah.
And the farm brewery license allows you to do different things than a normal brewing license in there. They're constantly upgrading or updating that license and what you can and cannot do.
My reaction is anything allowed under that farm brewery license would be covered under that prohibition. So if it's covered under that, that would be a different matter.
We'll be happy to provide more detail on that. We just didn't think of it.
Sure. You've not mentioned the size of your brewing operation. Could you give us an idea of the size operation you're going to build?
As far as volume of beer?
Yeah, it's a 3-barrel, 7-barrel, 10-barrel, 40-barrel system.
Well, we gave you a little schematic of the layout. I'm not sure.
It doesn't tell us.
I'm not sure if we could define the amount of barrels, but it's not. It's going to be on site.
But I think that's important on water use.
The maximum, we're looking at two different brew systems. We're looking at a 5-barrel and a 10-barrel.
Okay.
The 10-barrel is a youth system, so it's a very time-sensitive purchase, which...
Yeah, and they're... Understood.
The 5-barrel system would be a new system, and it would be coming from overseas. So there's a time lag here. The 10-barrel system, since it's the bigger system, I'll just talk to that because that would be the highest water use.
Yep.
Based on what our projections are for our tap room and some light like distribution of kegs maybe to a couple bars, we would only be brewing once a week. So the water requirements for that, a 10-barrel system is 320 gallons and another 3,000 gallons to clean it. So if you think about what the farm was before we purchased it, dairy cows drink 40 gallons of water a day. There were 250 milk cows, so that's 10,000 gallons of water a day that's being consumed at the farm every day of the year.
When was the last time there was a cow on that?
1970s, maybe? Yeah. Predates my life.
Okay.
So that's, Rachel, that's per week, 320 gallons to brew and 3,000 gallons to clean per week? Okay.
So, regardless, if it wasn't 250 cows, it was 200.
Okay, sure.
But a much larger use of water than we would be consuming.
Okay.
And a cow also deposits, 100 pounds of waste per day. So that's far less than we would be generating in either wastewater or brewer's grains.
So with the grain that you're growing, the cereal grain, it will be malted on premise like you... There was the first time I met you.
Eventually.
So you're going to eventually have a malt house, is what you're considering?
We are hoping so.
Money for that location or possibly
the different? I can't answer that right now. I don't know. We're not thinking that, we're not planning that out right now.
So you're going to send your grain out to a malting operation to start?
Another farm brewery that exclusively buys their grain from us. Is there a brewery malt house?
They malt the grain and
brew with the grain.
So. Usually 320 gallons to brew and then perhaps another 3,000 to clean. Mm-hmm. And that would be for the 10-barrel system?
For the 10-barrel system.
And earlier, I believe Teresa said that we wouldn't be doing any wholesale here, but if we sell kegs to restaurants, would that be considered wholesale, or how would
I mean, the farm brewery license allows you to sell your kegs to other farm breweries, so I guess you could technically consider it it's another form of income. So we've got to, at some point, we may or may not do that. The idea is to sell it all on premise. But the reality is, we have to have a business case that works under the most stringent, scenario, which would be putting it in a tap somewhere.
In terms of the zoning, Ron, the distribution isn't allowed. That'd be an association with the manufacturer. So that's an allowed aspect of the...
You're going to brew it, package it, send it out. Are you going to have a canning operation? That's common today with most breweries.
Not initially. They're very, very, very expensive.
Will you have a canning operation come in?
We're more likely to sell growlers. So,
is it the cost of the equipment? Is that why the determination was made to not be a wholesale type operation? Because it seems to be you're trying to maximize income from the farm enterprise itself, yet you seem to be trying to contain the sales to just the site of the farm. And so I guess I'm trying. I had a question of how was the determination, or why was the determination to not wholesale off-site?
Because wholesale makes very, very little money. The margins are very thin. Right, so we're trying to get away from raising the commodity margins and into value added. We're really doing, if you think about, if we can just back up just a little bit.
Sure.
What we're really doing is creating a destination for craft beverages. We want to be able to showcase how beer is made from the ground up. So we want people to come. They want to see the barley and the rye. They want to see the hops. They want to see the fruit. In the future, we can have bees, right? So it's this whole agricultural ecosystem that we're sharing with people that isn't being done across New York State. It's not unlike going to the Finger Lakes and going on a wine tour at the wineries. It is essentially the same thing, it's just beer. So this idea that it's a bar that's downtown Saratoga that's open till 4 in the morning is just, it's not in the cards. It's not what we're doing. We're raising our family here. We're not going to be encouraging the overconsumption of alcoholic beverages. Okay, what we're doing is showing, creating an experience for people to come and see New York Ag in a way that they can't see it in other places, and then take some stuff home with them. That's essentially what we're doing. And it is customary for farm breweries to put some kegs in other breweries. It helps share your brand, helps bring people in, because they're going to other breweries, so quite like the Finger Lakes. If you go to one winery and you see a product for another winery there, you're more often interested in visiting that winery too. So we're kind of better together than we are alone, and that's why you're seeing a resurgence of these craft breweries and the multitude of numbers that they're recurring. Right? So that's what's happening. That's what we're intending to do.
I have a question, and either Carlos or Susan will do this. How do we deal with this site plan here today? You have 300 acres, bigger plans, you have a grant for an award for a great hub. How do we avoid segmentation here? Saying that we have looked at this and we know you have bigger plans, but that, you know, everybody has bigger plans. How do we answer this under the clause of under CECA, which I don't think that any markets have to address? But we as a board and a town have to make sure that we aren't approving this, knowing that in a year from now we might be approving against something else.
So that's a great question, and that's always an issue under seeker. In this particular case, what we've done is we've focused on the piece there that Dominic's been showing you, and we've designed it so it is a type 2 action under seeker. So originally when Rachel came into the town, she was kind of steered in the direction of doing a PUD. And at that time, she didn't have legal counsel. She, you know, she had just barely brought Dominic on board. I mean, the problem with PUDs and the problem with zone changes is it encourages people to say, what do you want to do over the next 30 years? And the reality is, life is not like that. Okay? Life is like, what can you do in the next 5 years? The other issue that this all got caught up with was some solar panels that they had proposed on part of their property. That's covered by a moratorium. There's no point in even talking about that until the town board decides what the town board wants to do with solar. Now, as we're sitting here, we all know the governor's up to, like, I don't know, 80% renewable resources for the state. But putting that aside, this is what she's proposing now. This is the only thing she's proposing now. And quite honestly, given the circumstances that they're in and the state of the law in the town, this is going to be it for a while.
And I'll pop in too, just so that people see that I'm here. I think, Meredith, your question was really related to the segmentation, and that was the concern that Teresa was discussing. But there's no concern of a segmentation here because this is the sole project. You can't say, what are you going to do years in the future on this sole project? It's not a phased-out project. My understanding is that it's one phase. So with respect to that, and it's in the Type 2, the new Type 2 parts, which just came in, you know, this year. So there's not even a seeker review.
So you're not producing the grain right now?
grow grains for breweries and distilleries all across New York State.
But not at this Morrell location.
The Morrell location had barley on it a year ago, 2 years ago. So we can't produce the same crop year after year after year. You have to rotate your crops. So you will often see one field will be barley, one might be soybeans. They have to be rotated. It's for soil health and fertility.
Do you foresee that, like producing grain that will be brewing, for lack of a better term, in Morrell?
Yes, that's the point. The point is to create this flavor of our locality, right? The idea of locavorism. This idea that you can only get this beer here because of this water, because of this soil, and because of this management programs.
What about the hops available?
We plan to have hops, yep. It's an agricultural product.
Would you grow that here, or would you grow that here?
Or we have a hops yard, a small hops yard in our farm.
I think that Ag and Markets requires you to do the hops as well.
We have a small hops yard.
Yep. Right. Okay.
A portion of them. It isn't 51% of the hops, is it?
No. No, it's just grain.
Yeah, that's right. It's like 10% or something like that.
I guess my question is the once a week production. Being somewhat aware of what's going on in the brewing industry, I doubt that's going to happen. Because everybody says that, and every new brewery that comes along that I've seen, that I imagine new brewery will increase easily, quickly past once a week. Mm-hmm. Secondly, though, if I understand the farm brewery license, you can also have other locations to sell your product. Do you plan to do something along those lines?
Not currently, no.
But that is, I think that is a legal ability.
It's
an
allowable, yep, it's allowable. It's allowable.
So that 10 barrel operation can actually max out, you can actually increase your production for that.
We have no plans of having an opposite location. So it is allowed under the law, but we have no plans.
But from the sounds of you, are intending to have a 10 and a 5?
No.
One or the other.
One or the other. Okay.
We might lose the opportunity of the 10 barrel because it's taking us so long to, make a decision.
Okay. I misunderstood.
Yeah. No, sorry. Just to clarify, it's one or the other.
So I'll ask a couple more questions. Are you trying to do any kind of zero net energy on that property, especially with water?
I haven't really looked into it. I can tell you we're using a sustainable model for waste removal and through a land application, a water treatment and land application, so I don't know if that...
Well, usually for every gallon of beer, 6 gallons of water need to produce that 1 gallon of beer. It's usually the rule of thumb.
6 to 1. Okay.
Do you have a theme for this brewery? Like, a style of beers that you're going to try to promote?
That's really my brewer's his job, so he's not here tonight, so I can't speak to that, but what we're doing and what we're setting out to do is a lot of R&D style beers. We're going to create, we're going to use different grains in our debuts, or heritage varieties of grains that haven't been used in a long time. So we'll be seeing really unique crops that you might not
see. So where will these grains be coming from?
From what do you
mean? You're going to grow these heritage, type of grains, and then they're going to be malted out somewhere until you eventually might have your own malting house?
Correct. Yep.
Do you have, just out here, do you have a name for the brewery? Possibly?
Not yet.
So, on the issue around the concerns as it relates to water, do we have volume of information, or when will we expect to see what that looks like for the current well? Usually,
there's no total well yield yet, but we will get it. We just haven't produced it yet. We're not exactly sure the full quantity, but again, if the yield, there's enough water yield out here that we need to use the well, we would, or we provide storage for that one. The well would provide that storage for that 3,000 gallons of wash, and then they would refill again. 3,000 gallons could come about pretty quick. I don't know if you have any data on the well.
I don't have any data on the well. I just know that we have 10-inch tile drainage pipes that are 3/4 full most of the year. No.
But, so,
well,
no.
That's surface water, right? You're talking about?
You should have
good water sources over there.
Yeah.
As far as well sources, there's springs and things like that.
There's a lot of dug wells within the farm itself that they use out. And so they're
the health department has to test that water before making it into a saleable food product?
I don't believe so. We will send water samples out frequently because it's in our best interest. But I don't know if it's regulated by the health department. It's regulated by Ag Markets and the SLA, but.
Well, we'll get you the data on the potable water.
Well, no, I just wondered because I don't know. I know if you're doing a restaurant or whatever, they need to test the water because you're using it for cleaning and things like that. And, now, nuts and bolts thing that I wanted to bring up. Actually, I'm not opposed to the design of where the driveway is, and on this nice flat map, it makes a whole lot of sense. But I'm assuming this is coming out where the old driveway used to come out from the silos that were previously there.
It is in a lower section here, but if you're asking about like sight and stopping distance and stuff like
there's
that.
There's a sight line issue to the east.
This actually looking at the driveway, if we're looking to the east that
yes.
way, that's actually the best sight line distance we have in stopping distance. It's over right, what it was, 900, almost 1,000 feet, I guess, because it does rise in grade, but it doesn't rise enough to where it gets rid of it. Remember, you're looking at 42 inches above the ground, not at the actual ground.
Right.
So you're 3 feet
so
high.
You're saying that sitting at 42 inches at that height, you can see over that little rise down to the lower
side? You can almost see. You can see the bridge.
See the bridge. I just didn't know how the sight lines work for the
There's a little bit of a dip, but it's far past the hump.
Be nice if the town took that dip.
This hump over here is closer. One here
and higher.
But again, it's 35 miles an hour thing out there.
No.
45.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, we did our.
What's the distance from that driveway to the apex of that larger hill?
From here, from this way?
Yes.
Why don't you look at your responses because you had all the numbers. Take your time, get the right
hand up. Just out of curiosity, from Saratoga Road to where that entrance, you don't repeat that, but you're roughly how far?
Saratoga Road?
Yeah, from the Route 9 US Highway. How far would you say?
Half a mile.
Okay, and then from Sports Road, or what would you say? Just out of curiosity.
A mile? I don't know.
Okay,
I'd have to measure it. You can measure
it on
the road.
Yeah, sure.
But I think I provided some photos of the visibility of the road from the entrance.
Yeah, but if you look at it on here, you come out of it's basically here. So you're talking from here to here, right? This is about 2,000, so it's a little more than 2,000 feet. So 1/2 mile is probably a good guess.
Okay. We're
close to it. I don't see what I put in here about actual numbers, but I know I looked at the DOT standards for stopping can intersections, distance stop there, and we were very close to the upper section looking towards where the house is.
Okay.
But we were really very good to the east, and the west was questionable there. But it can be mitigated with signs and driveway and things like that where slow caution signs and things like that. Can't check speed limit, but you can sign if there was a concern with the town for going east on Old West Road.
So, Dominic, though, that site distance information we can provide?
Yes, definitely.
I just don't know how this has been. I guess you were hoping to have probably signs on direct people from US 9 to the brewery. I mean, because of the distance, how will they know you're there unless they maybe Google you or something? Or how?
From on Route 9?
Yeah.
Unless you get permitted from the state to put them there. I don't believe she just put them out there.
Okay.
Directional signs, like for an event, one-time thing, that would be, a town permit, but a permit sign is state right away, she'd have to get it from the state. If they're, would you put a billboard up if she wanted to, not the state would have to approve that, but, you know.
Do you have an estimate on the number of trips?
For the program itself? Mm-hmm. I've run some estimates on it based on seating and the type, but a peak hour is maybe going to be between 15 and 20 cars. I mean, you're talking about people coming and they're on and off coming in a group. So the operations are to early afternoon?
Early afternoon, yeah.
So, I mean, it's not going to, you know, so there's like a 6 to 7 hour window of this whole thing, so even the peak hours, there's only an evening peak to begin, there's no morning peak. There's only an evening peak to have to be probably in that range.
What will be the hours of operation regularly and then for events? And how would that trip generation be?
Our proposed hours of operation for weekdays, 3 to 9, Fridays and Saturdays, Fridays 3 to 10, Saturday 12 to 10, and Sunday 12 to 8. So our proposed hours of operation. We're not even really likely to be open 7 days a week. So.
Can you give us those once more, please?
So weekdays, our proposed time is 3 to 9.
Yep.
Fridays 3 to 10.
Okay.
Saturday 12 to 10. Sunday 12 to 8.
We're going to look at that there.
Yep. And with no schedule, are you going to say 7 days or are you going to look at maybe 6 or 5?
It could be 4. I'm not sure.
Sure.
We don't want to be open for, you know, we don't want to be open if it's going to be dead. It's Monday, I'm not making money, I'm paying someone to be there.
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
So we'll just kind of have to see how that goes. But yes, that's what we're thinking. It's the same. The thing is, it might even be the same hours as common rooms. It's very.
Yeah, it is close one day.
Typical hours. It's a different operation. Common rooms is different from your.
The craft brewery.
Yeah. In a commercial district. But the thing is that California, we're open until like day 5 or 6 at night, the latest. That's something you would consider doing.
Probably not. But we're not planning on being open very late either. I mean, 9 o'clock is not very late.
So, the goal obviously is to value add the products that you grow on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I know I'm chewing on the bone here about sales, but it seems to me that exactly, as far as to maximize the usage of the grains grown on the farm, exactly how many, I don't know how you measure it, pints or whatever of beer are you going to have to sell through this site, on site, to keep it on site, to not be wholesaling or distributed here from your production?
I mean, that's a really hard question to answer, right? I have all sorts of projections that I could answer that question for you. But to give you an exact number?
Not the exact number, but if you figure, let's say we're only producing on-site, and you're saying you're also going to bring grain in from Skagit or other areas too. But like, you were only doing it here, it's at 308 acres, it's 250 acres of fillable. A quarter of the production is malt barley, because you said you have a rotation that you have to work with, right? So I guess I'm just trying to figure out how much volume you plan on or hope to put through this current location.
I'll ask in a different way.
Hopefully.
When you grow barley or rye or wheat, you know how many tonnage per acre that you'll be able to grow based on the barley variety or wheat or barley growing. So, and by that, by knowing that hopefully the tonnage you're trying to get out of the land, that'll give you what you can produce in beer. So have you planned, mapped that, or tried to strategize that at all?
Well, what I can tell you is that my spring barley is about 50 bushels to the acre. My winter barley gets split to 80. My rye gets close to 100 bushels to an acre. So, you know, we are maintaining.
So in turn, how many bushels for a 10-barrel batch or a 5-barrel batch is what you're going to need?
A barrel of beer is going to use 80 pounds grain.
So we're talking bushels and pounds. Can you integrate?
48 pounds to a bushel.
Okay.
But malt is now sold in 50-pound sacks. So you're going to use a sack and change for every barrel.
So leaving all the math aside, my main question is, and I'm really enjoying the math, but I don't want everybody else to fall asleep on this. So my main question is how much beer do you think you're going to have to sell on this site to utilize the production on the farm?
I don't have my model in front of me, so I can't answer that question. But I can get it for you.
I'm just trying to get an idea of the grasp of the size and scope of the sales volume you're looking at here. Because I kind of assumed all along during this project that the on-site was going to be kind of a tasting thing to encourage people to buy your product off-site at a bar or a restaurant or even at a grocery store or a distributor or something, which includes a bottling thing. I really, until tonight, hadn't grasped that the goal was to really sell as much as possible right through this location for the experience of it, which changes things a little bit, but I just was curious how much you thought was the bottling.
Well, rather than trying to come up with numbers for you here, let's get you some numbers. But I think also what we're missing, and which Rachel tried to explain to me with limited success, so is that the way the equipment is set up, it will be easier for them to direct sales of beer as well. So there are benefits to that, as well as the experience and the agritourism. So that's why Ag and Markets supports this type of an effort exactly. We want to get people out into the farms to see what's being grown and to drink the beer. I mean, I've been to Omegang, which is, you know, nothing like this operation. That's a large operation, and it's gorgeous, you know. So this is not what we're proposing to do here, but it's the same theory, which is come to the place where we grow the materials, we make the beer. That's the whole point of it.
Is there going to be like a like you get a tour of the brewery, as small as it is? You have like groups go through and see how it's being done.
Yeah, but if you look at the diagram, there's not a whole lot to see there.
Right, that's what
it's
I mean.
A very small area.
And it won't really be in the production facility. It'll be open for view, but they won't be in the production facility.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Open to view.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like Druthers in Saratoga, you can see all this stuff.
Or C.H. Evans there's many. I mean, Slipfin is also. You can see what's going on. Most operations have it so that you can visibly see what's going on. But there is a barrier to protect the product.
Oh yeah, no, I understand.
Are we allowed to say something?
No, just 1 second, please. So, Mr. Martin, from the staff notes that you had made previously for this project, what other elements from a site planning perspective would you encourage us to make sure we...
Well, again, as with the past application, I mean, it looked, in terms of the grading, it looks like there's a lot going on to install that driveway.
Yeah.
You know, by the preliminary grading plan shown here, so I wanted to have some more detail on that in terms of, you know, erosion and sediment control around that area, disturbance, and how that's going to be stabilized. The electrical access to the site is shown, but either, you know, I don't know what I don't understand the connection points and all that, and what's going to be the power demand here. On-site septic, you know, we've had some basic discussion of it, but I really like to understand the sizing in relationship to the flow and the type of, you know, the content of the wastewater here. Do we have, you know, is this going to operate properly? And my secondarily to that, is the house also hooked up to this, and is the house going to run through that, the residence that's going to be there?
No, it's separate.
It's separate? Okay. And then, you know, that we talked a little bit about the well yield. You know, I think there is some, you know, need to show the capacity of the well to produce. I think that's an excellent point Rachel made about, you know, the past, you know, draw on the system from a farm, active farm standpoint. So there may be some comparisons to make there. We maybe even have it less of a, you know, need than prior, than existed there prior. But, you know, I'd like to see those numbers. Signage locations are shown. You know, I think given this current use in this context of setting, it would be nice to have some expectation of what the sign is going to look like, you know, at both locations. Lighting plan again. I think a couple exterior poles I saw, but are there any wall packs proposed? You know, what the fixtures are going to be like and the light content. We don't know, understand where the entry points are for the public. You know, is this going to be an accurate entrance or, you know, handicapped accessibility, all that. Landscaping plans not provided. I think that would be useful to have in this setting. I think you really want to create a certain character and quality to this site, you know, to have it successful. It might be useful to have. Again, the grading plan, I think, needs some more detail. I think we did hear some reference to an area of disturbance being less than an acre. That's good to hear, but I'd like confirmation of that. I think the traffic pattern appears to be good. I think it's a, you know, as long as the site distances bear out, I think that's a probably an optimal traffic pattern to have. It yields the most safety. The volume and type of traffic. You know, we are going to have retail customers here. Are there any, you know, bus tours envisioned? Are there going to be, you know, what's the nature of the trucks coming with the raw products, taking the product off for malting? And then what's the nature of the trucks leaving with the finished product, and how's that going to mix with the customer traffic? And then, again, obviously, what are those volumes? It appears to be very light. I'd just like to have confirmation of that. And if you could, you know, maybe just go through some of the adjoining intersections to make sure that we're not impacting operational levels or safety levels in any way.
Well, Jim, we are way under 100.
Okay.
Cars.
Okay.
Under.
Okay. I just want confirmation of that. Parking is shown. I think we need to have a little bit more detail as to, you know, the relationship to the visitation. You know, the expected need for parking, you know, at these peak hours. It appears to be okay, but, you know, I think we need some analysis to back that up. Loading areas, I would imagine that's going to be a particularly important aspect of this business for loading and unloading, to make sure they're separate from the retail traffic. I think that's pretty much it. And the hours of operation, I think, are going to be key. For this particular use in this particular setting, you know, I think that's going to be a, you know, an area of, you know, concern.
Turning radiuses to make sure that, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean by, you know, the type of trucks moving through the site. Typically, we like to see those templated.
We'll be happy to provide that information.
I'll just throw this caveat in. It's a town road, and the speed limit needs to be changed. It's actually up to the state to control the town, unfortunately. And town board tries very hard to lower speed limits to make things safe, but the state of New York Department of Transportation isn't always cooperative.
If I could, is there anything that's specific to what Jim mentioned that you'd like to discuss now? Because
sure,
most of everything that he's mentioned is not an issue providing information, providing
I guess the only thing
I can clarify a lot of that too.
I guess the importance, I think, that is based on your water usage that you plan on using, can your septic system handle it?
We're designing a new one too.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that's not within our purview, I understand.
It is to some extent, but remember, we have 300 acres of farm, and we have a large area to the side I can build I can build large, I can put an apartment complex on there and have enough area, but it, we're going to design everything, the treatment.
You're asking, I'm trying to answer your question, even whether, you know, making sure that, that the design fits the...
It will, right. It will. I don't really anything like anything else specific. Everything else I think I can answer, but...
I understand you may be able to answer right now, but personally, I'd like to see it in writing.
No, I have it written. I just want to know if
you're not like on the plan.
Outside of the discussion.
You have the horse paddocks there, but you don't see any barns or places where the horses are going to go. So I don't know if there's anything existing that you show. Or just...
No, we didn't put it in there because it's an ag building. So I think I should provide a building permit, but not pay my engineer.
You're not getting fly sales? You're not going to get fly sales?
No. Was that fun?
So, Dominic, to your point or to your question, for the notes that Jim just wrote through, I think the data the stuff came. Will you be developing a narrative as a
possibility? Yes, definitely.
We can review that and then make any subsequent changes or notes or edits to the plans.
Yes. I didn't make sure there was anything that outside of over, a little over and above that you're adding to what his comments were.
Well, we'll make sure we itemize those out if there is anything additional, but I mostly wanted us to be able to have a conversation around anything there that you might require additional detail on, or maybe it wasn't clear what it was that Jim was referring to. Is there anything that need more detail?
The only thing I think that would probably, like the Teresa just explains, the traffic really is going to be any, don't believe any need for any additional traffic analysis than what we're really going to say what's going to be produced here as far as the council, which we'll give you, but outside of that, I don't think there's any need for any study. That would be the only thing I would guess we wouldn't provide back is a detailed study of intersections outside the area and things like that.
Well, I think on that score, we ought to start with accounts information, and if it bears out to be true what you're saying, then that's likely the case, but we don't know until we see the counts.
Yeah, no, and we respect that. And yep. Jim's here just looking at it based on what you've got in front of you.
Correct.
So, nothing unusual about needing more information.
Yeah. I guess maybe a copy of what a farm bureau license allows, I think that might be good, so that might answer what to expect from the applicant.
We're happy to provide that. That's
I think that goes hand in hand with my request that you clarify what uses, what are your operations, not just the hours, but what kinds of things you're going to have in with the events, you know, what kind of events, what kind of music, what kind of music. More specific
and
about what you plan on actually doing.
Right. Well, it'll be in accordance with both codes. On a noise level, so
well, you're saying it's going to be acoustic. So again, what size audiences? What kind of volume audience has really been the question? How many you actually think you're going to be able to want or be able to hold in at the event? So if you're going to be 45 people, because that's about if it's the room. If it's outside, it's an outdoor situation. Is it going to be room for 300 people, 500 people? These are things we'd like to know because if they are, you know, whatever size, so we know what size it is. Whether it's for 30 people or for 300, you're going to have to be able to provide parking.
Yeah, under the ag and market law, it has to correlate to the amount of beer that you're selling, okay? So when you look at the 10-barrel system or the 5-barrel system, that's going to yield a certain amount of beer, a certain number of people. And so the types of events that you have are going to be smaller events,
Can I pop in? I was actually just saying the same thing to Jim, that ag and markets, this farm brewery license that you keep talking about, it's not like a one-page, this is what you get.
No,
there is a whole host of things Ag and Markets looks at to see, and they look at events. They look at one-off events, like a harvest festival. They look at different kinds of events, like weddings, and there is a percentage that they have to, of the full farm income has to be made. There's a whole formulaic component to this. And so to that, I just wanted to bring that to your attention. The other thing that I think might help some of you is that it's not just an ag and markets. There's the town, and then you have your ag and markets, which would preempt your town in certain instances. And we are getting that it may in this, but we don't have that determination yet. And then you have the state liquor authority, which kind of preempts ag and markets. And the state liquor authority is the one that tells them, okay, yes, you can have this. Yes, you can sell the beer. Yes, you have to have the peanuts and the, you know. And there's a whole, and they really control, not the Department of Health as much, to my understanding, but the state liquor authority controls all of this. And I don't believe that there's been an application to the SLA yet. So in speaking with Ag and Markets and in working with SLA, SLA is the one that's going to really control this. So you folks, there's a whole host of things. You folks can do one thing, and then Ag and Markets could turn around and say, yeah, you're not going to get this particular license. Or the state liquor authority could say, you're not going to get this. Or they could say you are. So just so you know that there's a whole host of state agencies involved in this.
And the timing is really important. One of the things about the state liquor authority is they won't allow you to start the process of applying until you have your local approval.
Right.
All right. So they don't want to be first. They want to be second, and they want to sit up there and then tell everybody what to do. And mm-hmm. we all say, thank you very much. Because we do what they tell us. You're absolutely right.
So I just wanted you folks, because this is, you know, fairly, I don't say an odd duck, but it's fairly new to the town in Roe. There's yes, layer after, just like in Shrek, layer after layer after layer.
Were any further questions?
Mr. Martin, have you received an EAF on this yet?
No, we have not, because they're making the case that it is a type 2 action by virtue of being under the 4,000 square foot threshold.
Didn't we give you a short form EAF
because
it's required? I thought
you did. I didn't see one.
I don't
no, you just said it was because it was type 2.
Right.
Yep.
Yep. No, there's not one.
And I also want to kind of pop in, because this is what I do. With respect to Ag and Markets and the 305A determination, when we spoke with Bob Summer and the attorney's name is just...
Danielle, yes.
Danielle Cordier. We spoke to them at length about the whole process and what it would be. And they did indicate, and I hope they indicated to you, that the 305A could be a 6 months to 2 year process. I hope they said that to you too, and they just didn't say that to us. We received a letter from them on September 30th. The town is supposed to respond and provide additional information within 30 days, which we're in the process of compiling. We wanted to see how this meeting went first, and then we'll submit all that, and then Ag and Markets will look at it and render a preliminary determination as to whether it's reasonable. Are the town's code is reasonable, the restriction, or it's not reasonable, and then the town has an opportunity to say why we think it is reasonable. It's a little, again, odd duck, because they're not applying to Ag and Markets to get permission to do this. They're requesting from Ag and Markets a determination that the law in the town is unreasonably restrictive. It's a lot of lawyer talk, but it's a distinction. So just so you know, they're not getting like an approval from Ag and Markets. They would get a letter from Ag and Markets saying, this is what we think, and then that letter would preempt your code.
If you're looking for a letter within 30 days of that letter, that's like this week.
No. Ag and Markets sent the town a letter, plus they filled out a whole application. And then they said, hey, we got this letter, we got this application, give us your information within 30 days. That's what we're compiling. Then they're going to, at some point, and there's no unless you know trees is different, there's nothing in Ag and Markets that says how long they have to tell us what their determination is. We can't really do that. So we just respond within 30 days, and then they tell us.
So they don't wait for a final determination from the planning board before they start.
Well, no, because and this swears it's odd too, because Jim's determination has indicated that the brewery, that's fine. The direct sales, that's not allowed in our code. If Ag and Market says it's allowed, then we're preempted. But right now, that's not allowed in our code. So you can't really make a site plan approval without Ag and Markets telling you it is. And this is where it's really, for legal minds, it's a little, it's fun. But
305A was triggered by his determination.
No, 305A, actually, they went a little early and went to Ag and Markets.
You have to have a determination that they have to overturn.
Yep. Well, I have an answer to that, John. And I think it was because they were trying to move the process along. They contacted Bob Summers. He probably said, you don't have a final determination because there wasn't even an application pending. So it was more of, hey, okay, this is what it is, and oh, the town denied us because they told us to get a PUD. That was kind of how it was couched, and that's in the application. That's just how it was, and so Ag and Markets is kind of working with everybody to move this along.
So Teresa shared a copy of this January 18, 2017 letter for the Whitlinger & Sons Brewing Company, and that's what you ultimately hope to receive as part of your overall application to Ag and Markets. Right?
That's correct.
Or something like
that. Something like that. Yeah.
So as a practical matter, I guess, for the planning board, and I think based on what you said previously, Jim's recommendation is that, you know, we view it as an overall application as opposed to just a brewery, right? Or in this case, brewery and sales. As a board, you know, the board is certainly able to express its opinion. You know, I'm not sure what you would expect our next course of action to be.
Well, I think you sought additional information from us, and we need to provide that additional information to you,
sure.
Just like the other gentleman, and that what we would like you to do is go ahead and proceed to give us comments and work with us on the site plan approval pending the Ag and Markets determination. And we moved forward because we were reasonably certain that Jim was going to determine that the zoning code itself didn't allow direct sales, and direct sales is a huge issue for us in terms of that Ag and Markets law, and that's why we wanted to be very clear that we are here seeking direct sales, and we understand that Ag and Markets is going to have to preempt the town's zoning law. Now, you do have a right to farm law in this town, and you've always been very supportive, as far as I can tell, of agricultural pursuits. I understand that this is a new type of agricultural pursuit, but an agricultural pursuit it is. Nothing prevents the town from changing the law while Ag and Markets is doing whatever its review is. We're not seeking that. We're comfortable with getting a determination from Ag and Markets which will preempt the town's prohibition on direct sales.
Okay, so just a quick question, just for clarification. Is the current activity or proposal to Ag and Markets, is that now based on the on-site retail sales, or is that still based on the PUD?
No, it's based on the activity.
It's now based on the actual denial.
It's based on the activity, really. It doesn't really, the activity of direct sales. That's what they based it on.
I just want to make sure that
the PUD is gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it had been mentioned that that was the original thing, so I wanted to make sure that that had been...
No, I think John, that's probably my fault. The reason that in her application in her request to Ag and Markets, there's a check mark. You have to say, what was your denial? And
right.
So that was, the check mark was, well, they're not allowing me to do anything without a PUD. And that just got them in the door. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Bob told you to do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so AgriMarcus told them to do that to get the party started.
But now it's been cleared up that it's because of the retail sales, or is it still saying...
It was
always the retail
sales. The direction on the PUD was the retail sales.
Right.
It was always the retail sales. Always.
We've spoken to AgriMarcus. AgriMarcus is good to go right now with the question of whether the town's law unreasonably restricts direct sales on this property. Is that... Have I thoroughly confused all of you?
No. And while we're just at a
point... I've confused all these people, bro.
Just on a point of clarification, it was mentioned earlier that the farm brewery law was put into place to get people onto farms. And the farm brewery law is very specific. It's about using New York State agricultural products to produce beer, or in the case of farm distillery, produce spirits. So there is a farm distillery on, I believe it's Platt Street in Glens Falls. A couple of gentlemen who don't even own a farm, but they're buying all New York brands to produce their spirits. And that's, so I just want to make sure everybody understood that the idea of the farm brewery and farm distillery doesn't require that it be on a farm. It doesn't require that you even own a farm. What it does require is that you buy a portion, in this case 51% of your products that you're making your spirits or your brew from New York farms.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was to promote the production and sale of farm commodities on New York farms through the sale of beverages.
And we're doing it so much better because it's actually what's being produced.
Oh, and I commend you on that. Honestly, I've always struggled with the idea that you can have a farm distillery that has no land. You know, just a distillery, it's basically a distillery. But I just wanted to make sure we were clear on that, that the idea wasn't necessarily to promote consuming alcohol on a farm. It was to promote the production of agriculture using farm commodities. This other is an ancillary that comes with it, okay? But that is not the primary of the farm brewery law when it was passed.
Well, if you look at the guidelines, it does address the integration with the farms, yep.
Okay, just because I'm a little slow on the update and it's been a long day, I want to make sure I understand. They're waiting on a determination. They're going to get a determination of either AgriMarcus thinks we're unreasonable or not.
Yeah, it's okay. Very likely.
When they get this, yeah. if it comes back that our mm-hmm. ordinance is unreasonable, at that point, we continue forward. Mm-hmm. With this process,
correct.
While at the same time they go back to AgriMarcus for a permit to operate?
It's at the same time.
It's at the same time.
Yes.
They're doing, right, but they first get the determination, then it's a separate step to go get their.
Well, they're getting their determination mm-hmm. for you folks.
Right. Then they get a permit, and then the State Liquor Authority permits.
Yeah, well, once you have said approved, then they can go to the State Liquor Authority and apply there. And they can't get their farm brewery license until the State Liquor Authority gets involved. And that's where you folks are at. And yeah. It's all integrated.
I just want to see where you fit in. I understand.
It's not an actual permit.
From AgriMarcus. They're going to get a determination from AgriMarcus whether our ruling is...
All right. So that's, and then AgriMarcus is done.
Yeah. Once they get that determination.
And then it's stable.
Well, they're not done in the sense that AgriMarcus is going to continue to monitor this to make sure that it operates within the parameters of the...
There's nothing further they would do in terms of a permit or anything
no.
like that.
Right.
It
no
would
permit.
Simply be almost an enforcement.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, I think in the context of our review, one thing I was going to suggest is, should you get to the point of a decision, and should that decision be... You know, to approve with conditions, one of those conditions would be that they get a favorable determination back from AgriMarcus. That way we can proceed normally and on your usual time frame for a site plan review, scheduling your public hearing, so on and so forth. And it just takes on a very normal site plan review tack.
Agreed. One of the other pieces of it, so we've gone through about 450 pieces of paper so far tonight of the 650 that we've yet to go through. But there's been many letters and opinion is expressed by members of the community to this planning board, members of the zoning board, as well as members of the town board. I'm a little concerned that some folks have written to some of us while others have gotten letters from other folks. So to that point, Jim and I talked at the start of the meeting. I'd like to make a recommendation, and we can do this in the form of a resolution, maybe that makes the most sense, that if you've gotten a letter or you've gotten some correspondence from a member of the community, I'd like you to make sure that you send that to Jim, and then Jim will serve as a clearing house to help reconcile across this full panel of board members that we've gotten, that we've all gotten a letter that you've intended for, you know, for all of us, really, at the end of the day, I think. Am I making myself clear?
Yes.
And that'll give us a chance to make it part of the record,
right,
making sure. And it also allows for full distribution so that every member sees every letter.
Right. So to that point, I'm going to read this into the record. It's not too long. It's a letter that's been signed by 38 residents in the area, and Jim distributed copies tonight. So what I'd like to do...
And I just got this tonight, so...
Okay.
All right, just to be clear.
What I'd like to be able to make sure that we do is that we get all of these expressions of concern, either in support or, you know, expressions of concern about the project in front of the full board and in front of the community as well. So this is addressed to Tom Rowe, Zoning Board, and the Town Row to the Planning Board, and it references the Old West Solar Array, brewery, music venue, small housing, parking lot, staging room, etc. And granted, the project has taken on several different variations up to this point tonight.
No.
And it reads, we believe that the plan submitted for the brewery, music venue, parking lot, staging room, solar array, small housing, and hotel, by the meeting language and intent of the zoning ordinance the project will diminish the character of the neighborhood and lower the property values of the surrounding properties. This is not an area with sewers and town water. Everyone is on well water and septic systems. We're concerned with the water table and the harm it could do to our wells. If copious amounts of water are used to irrigate fields for hops and to make beer at the brewery. In addition, discharges from the production of beer will both contaminate the groundwater and create air pollution. The community will be harmed by this both now and in the future. Instead of getting increased taxes for the town from this project, what you will have is decreased property values from at least 30 homes and farms. Farms and homes that we will not be able to sell in the future. The purpose of this petition is to voice opposition to a proposed plan submitted to the Borough Planning and Zoning Board to build a brewery, large parking lot, and bar/tasting room with entertainment on Old West Road. This is a rural area with farms, horses, goats, and cows on a dark, winding road. The undersigned are neighbors within a close radius of the proposed site that are against the retail sale of beer or liquor, and or against having a bar/tasting room or music venue on Old West or Washburn Roads. It is incompatible with the rural atmosphere of the area and is a dangerous place to have drinking and driving. And then it proceeds to have, as I said, signatures, address signatures from 38 folks from the surrounding area. And so to make sure that you get a copy of that.
We're getting a copy made for you.
But we want to make sure that as a board we are having everyone's voice be shared in that sense. So to that point, this is not a public hearing tonight, right? You've heard a lot of conversation back and forth from the planning board as it relates to the site plan, right? And this planning board's purview in this case is not 100% clear yet. We're working on that, right? We're trying to work through the process, and this has a lot of unique attributes as compared to other site plans that we review. So that's what Jim was alluding to before, as a matter of recourse. We would like to see it get to a point where we have a clear understanding of how Agnew Markets feels about this project. I will, at this point, allow us to get, you know, let's say 15 minutes of comment from the public. But at that point, you know, we've got a long list of other business tonight, and we'd like to try to limit it to that. Oh, right, sure, of course. So at some point, you know, as this project moves forward and should it advance, at some point we would, when they have a public hearing, that would become, you know, information that would be sent out to members of the public, and you certainly would be encouraged to comment and express further comment at that time. And please remember my one other ground rule. If you have a point that you'd like to make, please help us with name and address for record keeping. Anybody else wish to comment?
I have a question. Sue Hollis on a 13 Macquarie Way, Indian Court. I just have a question. I understand that they have no bodily. So if they're selling more than a taste, are people bringing their own containers, which then becomes open transport?
What?
I mean, if you're not bottling, if you're not selling sealed bottles, if you're gonna...
I'll let you respond.
Sure. So we will have growlers for sale that can be filled, so people will take a growler home with them. It's not off the table whether or not we have somebody come in and bottle or can for us. It's just a budgetary thing.
And a growler is what?
A bottle is what we mean.
A cranberry.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a, what is it, 64-ounce container with a lid.
Yeah. Is it sealable?
Yeah.
Because
yes.
New York traffic law, right? You can't have open transport.
Correct.
And then the blind curve coming off the 9.
Yeah.
That's, there's a little boy who lives on that corner who plays in the street. So are we going to up the patrols by the sheriff's department?
Well, again, that would be a matter of concern that the sheriff's department that would roll up under their purview as the project advances. And as we learn more about, you know, trip generation and that sort of thing, if it seems to be a concern as it relates to traffic, then we would need to go to that next step. In the past, when we reviewed projects, mostly for housing or subdivision associated projects, when there's a traffic study that's recommended, the applicant will usually engage in the traffic study, and the town planning board will recommend that receive a peer review from an independent traffic expert. So that's a lot of times when if there are concerns that need to be raised, it'll come out through that process.
Thank you.
I think the young lady behind me got it.
Thank you. Martha Woods, General Westbrook. I'm just going to read part of a letter that I wrote to the Post Star. And this would change the character of the area and affect our quality of life. Some of us have lived here for a few generations, while others have lived here for at least 50 years. We have a stake in what happens here. Many of us cycle along the road or have children that play in this area. The first proposal for Woodstock-type music festivals would have been very disruptive. Neighbors have already had inebriated drivers go off the road and run into their children's swings and toys in their own yard. This road is not suited for added traffic, especially headed to a bar. I, for one, don't want to wonder as I cycle along about whether or not the driver coming up behind me has been drinking. We are not well-to-do people, and we don't have thousands of dollars to invest in new wells. Our wells should run dry or be corrupted. Obviously, a distillery and brewery would involve a great deal of water. And what, as wastewater, would be going back down into the aquifer? The distillery and brewery would be better located where there's a public water supply and not in an area where all the other people in the area could have access to clean water effectively. There has been a history of supposedly safe PCBs, PFOAs, and chemicals from paper production being discharged in waterways and aquifers. Personally, I think it is great that people in the area of Moreau come together to try and assure that our area will continue to be a relatively safe area to live. And a number of years ago, Gladys Diop, my neighbor was killed right out in front of my house. There are hills, and after that,
It was a lowered bit, but these roads are still not suited for a lot of traffic. And we already have rather large vehicles going to Hiram Hollow dump. And there could well be, you know, it just would make it less safe. And the prospect of the water problem is really frightening to a lot of us. Thank you.
Margaret Durka, off South 13, Macquarie. My horses are boarded on the west. And I don't know if you're aware, but horses are considered attractive nuisances. So if you have drunk patrons and they wander into the field and the horse kicks them, that's on me. That's my insurance. And I don't see where it's fair for the people on the road to have their liability increased by the potential of a drunk patron coming onto our properties and into our fields. I just don't think that's okay. And that 305A rule did say that, first of all, safety of the neighborhood preempted everything.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Harvey Stein, 210 Washburn. We're the property just south of Zuck's property there. It's the old Cardinal Ranch. One question, is a environmental impact study necessary for this project?
I think what they had said, I'm just thinking so that they're not fully served, based on the nature of the project, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, I think you said before that this would be considered that wouldn't be required.
No, it would not. It would be considered a type 2 action.
Well, my concern is that the headwaters of a small creek that runs into our 3-acre pond on our property, that's where it begins, right there about Old West. A lot of their tiles that they just put in the last year drains into there, which is fine. But depending on what type of leach field there is and any sort of contamination that may occur from the brewery. My second point, if you have between, you're talking about hours like from 3 to 10, between 3 and 6 on Route 9, right there at Old West, you try making a left turn or a right turn, that is, unless they put a light in there, you're going to have a lot of accidents there if there's traffic. And you've got Hiram Hollow between, it starts early, which it shouldn't, through 3 o'clock or so, you've got other dump traffic. If you have all these trucks coming in with the grain products, that it's going to be several years before they ever get the full production of their grain that they grow. I just see that there'd be a lot of traffic. You're talking between the hours of operating from between 3 and 10, and you've got so many dark hours during the rest of the year. I just see it as a danger.
Rachel just wanted to address the one issue about the trucks that will be coming to the site. Rachel wanted to explain.
So, obviously, with normal grain production, you could expect the same type of equipment that you would see in a typical grain operation. But we'll be handling grain in pallets, so they'll be transported in like pickup trucks, not giant tractor trailers back to the brewery. So that should take some stress off of people. Also, your comment that it will be several years before we have our grain is an inaccurate comment. We already supply the grain in the industry, so we do have a history of growing grain successfully. We're just making them into that better products ourselves now. So you can be pretty sure that unless it's a seriously terrible year, that's not going to be an issue.
So back to the trucks, you said, so the malting company that will do the malting, they'll deliver via
pickup.
They'll be picking up with your old vehicle.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to ask, since we've got you here, a couple of people have mentioned the trucks going to Hiram Hollow. These aren't garbage trucks, right? You're talking about personal vehicles? Like the large garbage trucks are.
And
they're going to have
3 miles an hour.
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
Why don't you ask that? Because if I remember properly, when they did Hiram Hollow, they specifically told the garbage companies that the trucks were supposed to come in on the county highway at the other end to get to Hiram Hollow, and not supposed to come in on the whole West Road.
They posted the roads to bullets.
Okay. I may misunderstand it, but that was a long time ago when they banned that, but I was pretty sure that was a concern, and they said specifically that the trucks were supposed to come in on Gansey Wilton Road. They're not supposed to be taking that hairpin turn that way into the West Road off route now.
Imagine the town would come and restrict the way.
Well, I think it is. And we've had some issues with trucks going off the edge of the road. I'm sorry, this is off the subject. I was just curious because you mentioned it a couple of times and I'm not over here, so I didn't see that. So.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. We'll do this one and then we'll...
I just have a quick question.
And your name was?
Sean Reeves. I'm at 314 Old West Road.
Thank you, Sean.
I sit west and down the hill from the farm. Our home and two other homes on that end are, we have a hand-driven point for water.
For water.
Our 28 feet is where we sit.
Okay.
So the runoff from way up the hill, from their wastewater, how's that going to affect our drinking water?
The wastewater?
From your leach fields and...
Won't. I don't know.
What do you mean it won't? You're up here, I'm down here. My well is only this deep. How will it affect me?
Your which property?
I'm at 314 on West Road.
What's her name? I didn't hear.
Sean Graves.
And my daughter's house is also at 28 feet.
So you're on the same side of the old West Road side?
Yep.
And you're west of me? So,
I'm
the Dell Power and Arnold property, right?
Yep, the other side of the Arnold property.
Okay, so I don't know. I mean, literally the waste that's being discharged is like toilets and water from washing glasses. So I don't know how that would reach like 2,000 feet. I don't know.
So I think Rachel and Dominic wanted to...
Well, I can address it technically and say that...
Sure.
I don't know how far away your dug well is to where this will be. I mean, is it 1,000 feet? Or, I mean, is it...
So, okay,
and you have horse ranches and stuff like that, too? Is that what you have around you now?
Yeah, I don't have horses, personally.
But you have them around you as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I'm on side.
If you want to call it sewage, it's not. It's just a waste discharge. We're putting it into the ground.
Okay.
It's designed to go through the ground. Once it goes through so many feet of the ground, it's clean. Basically, that's why you put it through the ground first.
Okay.
The worst kind of contaminant is natural, like if they just took and sprayed it on, like horse poop, basically, or whatever you call it. That is because that sits on the ground. And it migrates through. It's a little bit different that way. When you put it and treat it and spread it out, it's actually treatment system. So it's being treated. So the chance, and you have it dug well, it's only 20 some feet, it'll be down. If you're not in groundwater by then, I can't foresee it. It'll be clean by then. I mean, if it's not, then everybody's absorption field is not working properly.
Yeah. I got a question for you.
And
I work for an environmental
company. Excuse me, sir. Could you give us your name and address?
No, I'm Carl Graves, 14 Old West Road. Okay, I work for an environmental company. I dig up gas stations, gasoline, PCB oil. That's not a true statement, because if you have solvents and stuff that are going into that same...
Are you talking about gasoline petroleum stuff?
No, I'm talking about...
You're talking about waste?
Dish soap, whatever disinfectants you use in that product, depending on what chemical base they are, they may never go away. Okay, sand is not a...
There's a treatment I'll have before the separation.
Well, that's not what you said. You said you're going to put it in the dirt, and it's going to come out.
I said we're putting it in the treatment system.
No, you said it's going to go in the ground. You didn't say treatment.
It will go in the ground.
Right.
It's going to be... There's a separation process.
I understand that, but that's not what you said. You didn't. I'm just saying that's not true.
I'm not going to debate. It'll be designed properly. There will be no health. The health department is going to approve it all. The discharge... The treatment that will happen of any waste going out, the separation of septic tanks, separators.
We also have the DAC.
Yeah, but that's a different, that's not going in the ground, that's going on the ground. So there's a whole process of permitting and bomb stuff like that, so I don't see any concern adjacent wells would have to on-site wastewater. I mean, it's there now.
Thanks, Tom.
What triggers the health department?
Sanitation part of it.
All the septic system.
Unless the town, unless the town approves it themselves.
I'm just wondering about the when they decide to make a bigger parking lot, because it was in before planning, so I'm assuming that this is going to become bigger. And I'm worried about the drainage going to our property, because it is wet there, and we're not wet. How is the drainage going to be?
Well, in this case, because of the limited disturbance right now, they don't have a stormwater management plan that they're required to produce. I guess a good follow-on question for that is the proposed new driveway that you had identified, is that paved? Is it gravel? What is
it? Will not be paved.
The apron, only the apron to protect
the apron under the room, right. And the follow-up point to that as well is if there's additional growth that is experienced and they want to provide an expansion to the project, then that would start the process over again with us. So right now what we're going to be doing is moving forward with a review for this particular phase as it's been identified, and that's what's gone to Agri Markets as part of that application. So right now we're creating a defined scope for them, and if there's something additional, you may have been here at the start of the project when we had a site plan modification that came back before us. They could go through that process over again, right? So we would be establishing defined boundaries for the project if you want.
Does that include events?
Well, that's part of what we're waiting to hear back on, right? So as part of this determination, I think that we're going to be receiving from Agri Markets, I think that's what we would expect to hear more information about, or we hope to hear more information about as far as how that's to be handled. We'll do one more, right? Yes, sir.
I have just one question. If and when this passes, who decides the hours of operation? Is that in the planning board's realm to decide? Who do they go 7 days a week, 5 days a week? Who decides that?
Well, I think what we heard previously from the applicant is what they would propose. I don't know if that's in your application to Ag and Markets in any way. Hours of operation, was it in there?
Ron, I think the hours of operation will be within your purview.
Right. So typically to that point, what we'll do is once we reach that point and nail that down, we'll typically identify on the site plan. Usually there's a number of notes that will go with the project, the review, and if there's a subsequent approval, like those are almost the conditions of the approval. So we would list out what the hours of operation were at that time.
I think the state liquor authority, just by way of disclosure, I think the state liquor authority also regulates that.
Yeah, there's certain hours that you can and cannot.
Right. And there are certain that you have to, if I understand.
Right.
It is complicated. We'll try to give you more information on that.
Okay.
Yeah. And just to be clear, if you came back to us and said you can operate 2 hours a day, we would say that's unreasonably restrictive and go back to the Department of Ag and Markets, because we are trying to run a business.
What is recourse? Eleanor Stein, 210 Washburn Road. What is recourse to the Ag and Market law people? Because it seems as if that's who's going to take precedence over all of this. And do we get to talk to them? Do we get to say that the health and safety of the community is a factor and is affected? And if that's one of the reasons to deny the project, how do we tell them that it is affecting our community?
I know that the town provides whatever information that it believes is necessary to explain the law. I've never provided the information before. I'm not sure if the town can do that. When you're asking for what is the recourse, the recourse, it's whether the town agrees with the statement or not. If the town determines that it doesn't agree with the statement, then there's a hearing, and it goes on for a few years, and then if the town doesn't agree with the hearing officers, the ALJ's determination, then the town can bring an Article 78 proceeding in Supreme Court. I don't believe that's done very often, but that's the proceeding. The town does this.
Okay, so if everybody on five streets around this project says, we don't want it, and yet it still happens, what's that recourse? Can the town write to the ag and market people?
Actually, it might even be more advantageous to contact the SLA, the State Liquor Authority, than ag and markets. So ag and markets is in the business to determine whether this is an agricultural project and whether it's protected under the ag district law, which I think it's probably safe to say they will do that. Then they have to go through the process of licensing, and that's handled by the State Liquor Authority. That doesn't mean that that's a, you know, slam dunk for you either, but if they do take, if I understand it, they do take in comments.
Okay. So with that, I guess the summary for us as of now is that the town's going to be pulling together a response to ag and markets. I think you said by October 30th.
Yes, we're going to submit it this week, early next week.
Okay.
We have 30 days from September 30th, so September, we have October 29th.
Okay. Yep. Thanks. And then meanwhile, we're also expecting to receive additional information as it relates to site plan details from you, Teresa, Rachel, and Donna.
That's right.
I have a list of preliminary things that I've made note of, if you want to just review.
Mr. Council, whoever, you're telling us that we need to review a project that is contrary to our zoning code and the thought that somebody further up the food chain may tell us we're wrong.
We're telling you it's a little more complicated than that. The brewery isn't allowed use. So you have absolute jurisdiction to look at the brewery portion of this. The direct sales portion, the tasting room, tap room, however you want to delineate it, that is what Ag and Markets, in our preliminary conversations with them, have said they will likely preempt. And they will likely find that that would be our zoning that doesn't allow it would be preempted by the agriculture and markets law.
Well, that's a question differently.
Then that begs the question. If Ag and Markets determines, but if they determine that direct sales should not be allowed or is not protected at this site, would you be moving ahead with the site plan that's in front of us right now?
We would have to evaluate that at the time.
We're not going to commit on that one way or the other. I mean, we're very confident
that Ag and Markets is going to cram the
sample.
So that's why we're moving forward with this at our own risk.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
So what's the answer to
this
question?
I thought I had answered this question.
Peter, you consider your question answered?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Just making sure.
Okay, Jim, we're ready for...
Okay, by virtue of the notes I have taken during the discussion, it's well yield capacity, data on potable water, site distance information, including some information on your trip generation, some grounding and, you know, the... your traffic data, hours of operation. I think there's got to be some justification for that, other than just what you'd like to have. I'd like to see, you know, some reasoning. And then the discussion turned to how much beer needs to be sold in order to operate the facility.
I think that's really outside the site plan. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I think in the context of what
I'm just recounting the notes.
No, I think in the context of what it might help you understand in terms of trip generation.
Yeah, I think we're trying to get at what's going to be the level of activity.
The honest answer is you don't know what it's going to generate for trips.
Well, we do know there is an ITE category, I'm sure.
Right, that's all it
is. And that's what we'll use.
Okay.
Just like they do for every transportation study.
But you said is that based on capacity of the brewery? Or
yes, it is. Okay. It is.
I'm sorry that I was confused because you also said earlier, though, that this is really like a true craft brewery. So that's why I said what I said, which is.
It's a
craft brewery. You offered it as more of the experience, right? So I don't know what a craft brew experience in terms of its overall.
Well, we'll provide you with the IT codes and you can take a look at it and see if you're comfortable with it. It's very cookbook when it comes to that. The point I was making with Jim, which I wasn't very clear about, is it's my understanding that DOT takes the position that if you're not going to increase traffic by 100 vehicles at an intersection, they don't require you to do a level of service analysis. But we can still use the ITE numbers to predict the number of vehicles that will come into the facility on a, you know, on an hourly basis. We can still do that.
I mean, this doesn't, at this juncture, it doesn't need to be a full-blown analysis, but there is, I think some preliminary information will give us what we need to know.
Okay.
Let's see here. Kinds of events and what is planned. You know, I think that's a reasonable expectation. If we can get a better handle on that. And then this whole thing around the State Liquor Authority, you know, and their involvement. I just have some notes to that effect. I don't know what you can answer in that regard, but you know, just I think some more explanation of maybe how that works,
sure.
You know, and so we can get a better understanding of that framework.
Okay.
And that's all I have out of my notes, plus what I gave you in my staff notes, which I think Dominic is apparently developing some narrative response.
Yeah, I was just trying to do it. I didn't get a chance to really read through the letter that Lindner and Sons Brewing Company received. I was just trying to digest that a little bit. I apologize.
Yeah, we just received it today, so I can't say that I
have not been sitting there. Okay, sure. Fourth, anything further on top of what Jim had identified?
No, I need additional training.
So, Jim, your concern on that driveway, you said something about a concern there that no, and then it didn't really set in until the very end here with the commission. This isn't going to be paid. There's quite a grade to that driveway.
Yes, and there's a lot of what I see out of that. You know, there's some preliminary grading plan going on there. It looks like there's quite a bit of disturbance, and there's going to be, I'm not saying a SWIP is required, but there should be, I think, some explanation of how that's going to be stabilized, you know, erosion and sediment control in that immediate area of that disturbance, because it looks like there's a lot.
This is going to be, it's not going to be a public road, but it is going to be actively used by the public.
Yeah.
Correct.
There's got to be some.
It's a commercial scale driveway.
Right, and there has to be some engineering requirements beyond like a residential driveway or a farm driveway for that purpose, right?
Yeah, I mean, CTNL does this all the time. I you know, I'm sure, you know, we can get a grading plan and an erosion and sediment control plan and stabilization that, you know, will give us more confidence in that it's not going to end up out in Old West Road.
So this would see, I would see in addition to the October 17th.
Yeah, it's already in there. But.
Do you have any questions of us?
No, no questions for you. Thank you for your attention. We very much appreciate it.
I think you all have my email address. You have a reference.
We do. Yeah, send one of the application documents. Okay. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I'm going to carry it.
I'm going to include it.
So that obviously means there was no variance required. The variance application was withdrawn.
We're basically the four lots
now. We're at a four lot subdivision review.
And part of the shared variance was part of the lot that's not part of the subdivision. The Hogan property uses that easement. Will they be part of that shared agreement? Do they need to be? Should they be? Is the question I'm asking.
No. You're going to have to try that again.
There's
sorry.
A property that's not in the subdivision that uses this shared road.
Everybody who has use of the road should be in the agreement. And it should be recorded in their deed.
Yeah, that current house was built here years ago. And sits here.
But they're using it.
Yes, and they're coming up to them. They have been for...
So then they have a prescriptive right.
So we have an easement go on but I'd like a piece of property in the subdivision. Does it go under deed? It says that someone who lives over
it's
outside
on both.
Of this, and it, so it,
so if I have the right to use your driveway,
yeah.
It's in your deed and my deed.
Okay. The way this has already been filed in the city.
It's okay. It's an easement agreement that gets,
gets
amended. And then through the title, you find
it. The way this is drawn is that the owner of lot 4 would be providing right of access to the off-site user over his or her property.
And it would be indexed in the county clerk's office so that when you do a title search, it'll pop up. There you go.
So I guess that lot there is one that's going to have that takes care of the lack of variance needed because lot 4, closest lot on the west side is the versus the lot that's toward Hatchery Road is.
Well, we can only take care of what's in this subdivision application.
Right.
So that lot that's fronting on Hatchery Road to the left of the driveway.
Those two lots. Then once you get past those two lots, there's lots of the
lot number 4. Like I said, is going to have to provide that.
That will be the. Okay.
Yep, and that's going to apply. It's going to be kind of complex, but you can get there. They're going to have to supply that right of access to all those lots over their property.
So I'm a little confused here because I'm still seeing 5 houses.
Where are you seeing 5 lots?
So we have a parcel that is on, it would be on the south end of that. That has frontage on Selfridge Road. That shows itself outside of your bolded area for the lots that are proposed, but it's a 5th lot because it's got a boundary line to the south that separates it from another parcel.
Sorry, would you mind?
Sure.
The lands of Scott Montgomery.
It's much easier to just show you that lot 5 is still here. It's just not included in the bolded area. So has that been?
No, that's a separate parcel. Those are the lands of Thomas Ward.
This property here?
Yes.
Okay, because that was included in the previous subdivision plan that we had a month ago.
I don't believe so. The lines are obviously different within the boundary, but the outside boundary of the lot was fixed.
All right, so let me try this again. It shows, even in the mask here, it shows us the wetlands, that line goes straight. So is that a lot line adjustment that just hasn't been made on the map yet? Or, I mean, it's an acceptable lot because it's got frontage on Selfridge Road. I'm just asking you because I can't see it. It wasn't. All right, well, then I stand corrected. I didn't realize that had already been split up.
You were thinking
I'm sorry.
Straight over that?
Yeah, I thought I came straight over because I was like, well, that's it. I mentioned going along that boundary and you went over there and that made even more sense. So, all right. I'm still impressed with the way it was drawn up and now we're kind of going on. So, let's see where we go. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I don't think the wetlands have been addressed appropriately. Based on, I know there's a lot of that discrepancy.
Okay.
The truest form,
yep.
Fixing that is a delineation, and also being seen before.
Yep, so here's our plan. As we spoke a lot with Jim Martin here, as far as how to proceed, we have been informed that as of the last meeting, the board made clear that they would be accepting of the Saratoga County mapping. And so when we go out there to stake out these lots, our plan is to bring a wetland biologist with us to confirm that all of the building envelopes are a minimum of 100 feet away from any potential wetlands.
But not the wetland.
But we can do that before the next meeting, too. That's no problem. We can have that fully addressed. And that's...
Well, that'd be great. That's the case.
That would make more sense just in case you create a lot that turns out you don't have room for a building.
Correct.
Yeah, that's
your
moving lines now than later.
Now, just remember, the building in the 100-foot boundary or buffer is not the end of the world. It just needs a permit.
Right.
But I think John's point is a good one in that it would be better for this board and the applicant
to definitely.
Know what that delineation
is. I agree 100%.
So that when we're looking at the overall configuration,
yep, I agree 100%.
So we will prove at a minimum that there is a building envelope that is suitable for building on each of these lots. Since I believe that is the concern of the planning board.
Yeah. And it's going to need to be in your SWIP too.
Yes.
Where permanent and temporary border control.
Yes. And the SWIP is another thing that we plan to have before the next meeting.
Oh, perfect.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and assume that the site where the current building is going at, that is likely the furthest distance from Hatchery Road on the shared driveway. So that the point where you get to that lot, which I believe is listed as lot 2, that's the furthest point. Do you know how many feet that is?
Again, off the top of my head, I do not know.
Okay.
We can show that on the map before we come back.
Well, I think what he's getting at, Matt, is a requirement for turnarounds and things when you have a singular.
Yes. Pass by areas.
And as you can see, we have put turnarounds on every lot.
Hey, that's awesome. And I'm glad your eyes are that good. And I'm the one who complains about the big maps.
That's right. I remember we spoke about turnarounds.
Oh, yeah, you do it. Yeah, that's right. I remember seeing this.
Okay, and that answers my question.
Okay.
My main concern is that not even as much turnarounds as my main concern is to make sure there was room for two vehicles to at least find a way they could get back. So I don't want anybody having to back up 200 feet because their neighbor got home.
Understood.
Before they got out. So
did you also see it on the profile of that map?
Yes. Yeah. I saw the profile, and I'm assuming that this driveway is longer than 300 feet to the nearest residence from Hatchery Road, so
yes,
met the requirements of a 20-foot wide.
So, Ron, to summarize my staff notes, my two underlying points of concern were relating to the SWIP and the wetland, and if he's going to address those in the next by the next submission, those are my two basic concerns.
Well, there was a letter that went out today from Matt. I think
yes.
Matt Arnold to that.
Yeah.
Right? And I forwarded that. Matt.
We've already lined up the engineer to handle the SWIP.
So you plan to have that buttoned up between now and the next submission as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Do we want the McKenna driveway property, making sure that the composition of those?
Well, that's
in there.
That is in there?
That was in one of those.
In that,
he gave the cross-section detail.
The cross-section is on the drawing.
What I think, yeah, the cross-section, but also in addition to that, there's a grocery list of things that I think the Department of State recommends, correct, for drivers that are in excess of 300.
Yeah, and I think that's what he tried to convey here with the turnarounds, is that correct?
But yes. I think what Reed's asking for is for it to be itemized out a little bit more in the notes section, just like similar to what we did on previous. Do you know what I'm talking
yes.
about?
Yes.
Okay.
And Jim, who?
It's what you started. It's what you pretty much already shown. Just
yes.
give a little bit more of an error.
It's just putting it in one location.
Yep. In one spot.
Yep. That's the problem.
It really should probably be somewhat described in the driveway maintenance agreement too, to make sure that the property owners know that the driveway is to be maintained at that width and height clearance and this.
Well, is that how we did that?
I think so.
I think that's our template. Yeah, and I can send a template to you
okay.
to make it easier for you.
I appreciate that.
That's fine. You can use the email address.
I was just going to write that McKenna for that, but if you have it.
He's like the end user named Steve, so. Give Carly your email address before you go.
Right.
All right,
okay.
Will do.
And that's as per state law or code or anything.
Understood. So.
The other open item, Ron, is I think we're at a point where it's necessary to do the public notification for the public hearing and the signing of the notice out on the street.
Well, notice the TBD sign was out there today. The white sign is up on the side of the public road with the wood shed out there.
You know what you're referring to in terms of providing notice for?
Yes.
And I think I discussed with Gardner the idea of sign at Selfridge Road and Hatchery Road, given the nature of this layout.
You have one of these?
Yes.
Okay, Board, what would you like to do next? Do you have enough information at this point to move forward?
What's the lay of this land?
The top
of it. I mean, there's no ravines, cliffs.
Nothing major, no.
I guess you probably have to go to motion for the public hearing for next month.
I think if you were able to accomplish our laundry list, I think there's no reason why it can't be up.
By November 4th.
All right.
And it'll be done and submitted by then?
Yep. It's aggressive, but yes.
You would like that can do added.
Just say yes.
We're here to get the public hearing, so.
What would you do if you find out that was lot 3 is really wet?
We would seek the proper building envelope.
No, I just wonder, you're going to sell somebody a lot that's 90% wet.
Well, we certainly don't want to be selling lots that aren't built with water. So we want to make sure that it's built before we try to sell it as well. So.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah. A lot of land is pretty much fine.
Understood.
So
I mean, technically, lot 3, if I'm reading correctly, is 18 acres.
Yes.
Yep.
If I can, Mark Short, 32 Great Fox Drive, DDC has already been out to lot 3, has approved the home site for the future buyer, home buyer. He couldn't be here tonight to build where he wants to be, and they have already flagged lot 2 and 3 by DDC for both projected sites.
What was that last part again?
For both, for lot 2 and 3, both projected sites.
So the one where there's some excavation going on a lot.
Yeah, there's that building on that one.
Yeah.
And the other site was cleared, just woods. And that site, both of them have been approved by DC. If I'm...
Do we have
to make sure, because the number of trees about 4 times, I'm just going to look at his map to make sure that...
And of course, when we're out there with a wetland biologist, you know.
So yes, he's been out there already.
Okay. Do we have any documentation that...
I provided that to the board last time under the, it was lot 4 and 5. We were just waiting for this before I reach out to him again to change the lots. So he knows which lots they are. He just wants to see the new map, and he will adjust his letter to show the lots with the new lot numbers.
Okay.
I think that's what we had last meeting with the fire department.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if
oh, no, I didn't know because it was probably not 5 again, so we knew that this was going to be the correct time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, and you're going to have a notation stating the basis for the delineation, right? Biologist or...
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Should we have this the first thing if they're able to get...
We have no other public hearing scheduled for November, so you have the first slot.
And 10/18 would be the day. 7/01.
Right before turkey.
I don't know what you can do early, but you can't do that. 7/02 or not.
I like that.
So 7/01 is what we're thinking?
Yes.
Have that in the form of a motion.
Make a motion to schedule a public hearing for
the third.
I'm sorry, you had an easement in this
North
Branch. Branch.
Yes.
North Branch Brook.
North Branch Brook. Public hearing on November 18th at 7:01 p.m.
I have a motion by John to schedule a public hearing for the North Branch Brook subdivision on November 18th, 2019, 7:01. Do I have a second? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? I shall concur.
Okay, so you have to have those signs up by the 8th of November.
All right.
On Selfridge Road and Patry Road.
All right.
And then we'll take care of the notification to the paper and the neighbors. Unlisted. So the three items I have is the maintenance agreement for the shared driveway, the wetland delineation proper, and your stormwater information. That's it. Those are the three things I have.
Disturbing stormwater, erosion control, it's not.
That's all that. So stormwater and erosion control, erosion and sediment control.
Did you get that?
Yeah, I forwarded him that.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yep, road detail shown on the plan.
Yep, I have that in my house.
So that's four things.
Forward anything further? Anything further for us?
It's just going to be Matt.Webster.
Okay.
At vanduzenandsteves.com.
Okay.
The longest email address I can possibly have.
I appreciate that. Right. It could be Matthew.Webster.
I found that one.
So. Thanks. Yep.
Except when Todd walked in, and real quick before we get off this one, so there is EAF.
Grab him before he goes on that guy. Hey, Matt,
can I see you for a second?
Do you have anything else?
Nope.
I just have a question on your.
Just very quickly, there will be minutes from our meeting about the zoning.
You have
and you'll be getting written minutes from our zoning meeting.
And you say no,
yes.
But there's no.
Yep. And keep those minutes because that's going to be something you refer to.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
The same thing with this one, with existing wastewater.
I think this week because they're coming from the clerk's office.
And don't worry about this one.
Just the wastewater.
Right. So if you, so I just want to be able to make sure that we have that all set up. So do you have this saved on your PDF somewhere? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and if you can write on the PDF, see, I can save, but I can't write on it. It's really hard.
Oh, you got to get a better PDF out
there. Are you? I think so.
All right, well,
thanks.
Thank you. Hold on.